The only thing better than hot chicks is hot chicks in prison.
The crimes these women committed that got them into this prison are nothing compared to the crimes they'll commit to get out.
That's right.
Oh, is that Cage Heat?
Some of our best cinema is about women in prison. We'd like to talk to you. Today's the day Paris Hilton was supposed to go into prison.
Right.
So she went in on Sunday night, and they're doing round-the-clock coverage on TV, which we love. And we would rather talk to women who've been there. I want to find out exactly what that was like. I hope it's like this.
Caged women. Caged passions. Caged fury.
Right, caged fury.
I'm sure it's just like that.
Yes.
All I know about women in prison is what I've seen in porn. But I would imagine, you know, women have needs too, right, Lisa?
Absolutely. And I'm sure that you get a bitch just like guys
do.
Yeah,
sure.
For any length of time, right?
You deal with the situation. You know, you miss the human contact and you find yourself a little girlfriend.
Absolutely.
I would think it's a whole lot easier for a girl to find a girlfriend than it would be for a guy in prison to find a boyfriend.
Probably.
I mean, it's not as offensive because girls rule and they're hot and all, you know,
and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff. I think it's probably hopefully like this.
You've seen prison. You've seen women.
Yes.
You've even seen women in prison,
right?
Come play with my wilderness. It is all for you.
Come play with my wilderness.
Never heard that before.
No. It's all for you.
Do girls just take it from other girls like guys do in the prison?
No.
You don't think so?
It's a mutual sharing.
It's all
thing.
Soft and sweet,
yes.
And loving?
Yes.
You know, I was...
And then they hold each other.
It's
afterwards.
A wonderful time.
I was in Jail Babes 3. I don't know if you guys remember.
Bean was on the cover of it, weren't you? No, you were in it, weren't you? Because we were interviewing somebody.
I was in the movie, and I think they put featuring Bean from K-Rock somewhere on the DVD jacket. But every once in a while, someone will email me and be horrified that somehow... But what happened is one of the girls in Jail Babes, which was part of the Larry Flint Hustler series of videos where he would he'd get ex-cons and put them in porn. We had some of those girls in
right.
on the show and interviewed them. And I don't know how somehow they picked my name out as the one who was doing the interview, but it was very funny. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to why don't we start with Roxanna, who's a sweet and delicate little flower, calling us from Yorba Linda today. Roxanna, how many times you been in jail, sweetheart?
Four.
Four times.
What'd you do?
Wow. That doesn't seem like that's good, right? Is it all drugs?
No, I know. I was into drugs. I've been sober for years now, but
oh, good for you. Good for you. Now what's it like? Is it the sex party we hope it is?
It's there. Yeah, it's definitely there. You see it on the yard. I can't hear
Roxanna at all.
Some of the girls look like dudes there.
Sure.
But isn't that good sometimes?
Well, I mean, you know, isn't it good sometimes?
Roxanna wants a girl. That's
oh,
right.
Okay.
What about someone like Paris, who not only has never been to prison before, but has lived an unbelievably privileged life without having to ever do anything for herself? What's it going to be like for her?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think she would get totally taken advantage of in more ways than one. I mean, not to mention the money she has.
But the problem, Roxanna, is that she's going to be in her cell, I think, for 23 out of the 24 hours.
Yeah.
She's in county jail. She's not even in prison. So that's a whole different story. Yeah, she'll be locked down there. It's totally different in prison versus...
What's the difference between a prison and jail?
Well, I mean, jail's the county, and you don't... It's totally different. It's just a whole different type of people. It's a whole different type of scene.
And jail is not as hardcore as prison? Is that right?
No.
Yeah, the prison are the long-term
That's
people.
That's what I was going to say. When you go to prisons,
yeah,
you're in there for a while.
All right.
Yeah, you are. You're definitely in there
That's when
a
you get desperate, Kevin.
All right, last question, Roxanna. You recommend going to prison or not?
No, of course not.
Don't do that. Okay. Oh, that was a good question. All right. Thank you
for the call. Very sad, by the way. The updated information I'm getting, thanks to our listeners, is that they took Paris's cellmate away. Remember, they originally handpicked one that they said wasn't going to try to exploit her by selling her story. Took her away. Mm-hmm. Now she's by herself. And DNN, the Dave News Network, the King of Mexico, answers the phones here, K-Rock, says that against California prison regulations, they let her keep her hair extensions in. So she's already getting preferential treatment.
Do they let anyone else keep their hair extensions in?
Apparently
they say
not.
No. They say no. That's part of the policy. So why don't we ask? Let's ask Linda in Glendale, who I already am very deeply in love with. Linda, you say you've been to just about every woman's prison there is in the great state of California?
That is true.
How did that happen? Where did your life go so terribly wrong?
Well, when I was 15, I started messing around with drugs and the next thing you know, I mean, that's where drugs lead you to, jails, institution, and death if you don't watch it.
Oh, so the message should be don't do drugs. We've been preaching the wrong message all these years.
No, you can smoke pot, that's okay, but anything else is really, really bad for you.
Okay, so you've been to every female prison in California. Tell us about the, well, you know, the sex thing.
The sex thing?
Yeah.
You know what? Women,
you know what I mean?
Women are
hold on. Kevin, we want to hear her. Kevin, we want to hear what Linda has to say. Kevin!
What?
We want to hear what Linda has to say. I'm sorry, we couldn't hear any of that, Linda. Take it again.
I'm sorry. Women are very needy.
Okay.
So when they go to jail, what they do is half of them take the role of the guy and the other half take the role of the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of link up. There's women in jail that are not even anywhere near gay, but they're in a relationship with another woman.
Right, because it's the only option.
They're in jail.
Right, of course.
Yeah, I think that it works the same way in men's prisons, too. It's just grosser there. I mean, I have no problem with rampant lesbianism breaking out in prison, women's prison. I have no problem with that at all.
That's how we'd like to picture it.
I'm interested in finding out how, I mean, because, I mean, there's a couple of evening routines that the girls go through, and one of them is washing your underwear. And the way they do that is they get on their knees next to the stainless steel toilet.
Yes.
And they wash their underwear in the toilet where they take a shit.
Oh.
You can't, unfortunately, use that word on the radio, but thank you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you for the visual, though. Yeah, that's going to be a wake-up call for Miss Hilton, isn't it? That's not, she probably has never done a load of laundry in her life.
Well,
I wonder
if they'll
true.
Make her do that since she gets to keep her hair extensions.
She probably doesn't wear underwear in prison. She doesn't wear it on the outside.
And I know what you're thinking. Kevin Bean, why are women not funny? Well, we thought we'd find out.
So Ralph, our entertainment reporter, told us on, I don't know, Wednesday, last week, I can't remember, that there's a new show on the Oxygen Network, and it's called Shelarious, and it is for stand-up comedians that are female.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent Psycho Mike down to the auditions. They were Friday, right?
Good idea. Yeah, Friday after the show, about 11 o'clock.
There aren't a lot of, I mean, when you think about, you know, legendary stand-up comedians over the decades, there aren't a lot that are women.
No. No, I mean,
not as many. I don't know why it is that it's tougher for women to make it in that business.
By the way, Joan Rivers, I know we hate her with the heat of a thousand suns, but she was a permanent fill-in for Johnny Carson. She was maybe the biggest female comedian ever.
Yeah, yeah, you could be right about that.
Maybe Roseanne, I guess.
Roseanne was huge. Yeah. Obviously, there are still some today, like our friend Sarah Silverman, who's hilarious. I mean, she's great. She is a really, really funny woman.
She's an anomaly, though.
I mean, yeah, she's a really funny woman. But in general...
Ellen just hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, she can be funny. In general, though, it's a lot harder for women to do comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I looked at this audition for the Oxygen Network, you know, comedian show, as kind of like the Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't allowing all athletes, just the ones that had the handicap. You know?
Right. Tell us about your attitude going in, though.
So, look, stand-up comedy is very hard, and I'm not going to go in there just ready to make fun of anyone, okay? I consciously made that decision. I'm driving over. So I'm going to give these girls a chance. They're doing something that's very difficult. It takes a lot of courage to do this.
It does.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's what you're famous for when it comes to women, by the way.
No,
not,
I mean,
not preying on their already damaged self-esteem.
I know my gender relations in the past haven't been the best.
Really?
So I said, I'm gonna work on it. I'm going to go over there with my eyes open, okay? My eyes and my mind wide open. So
they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
But you have an open mind. You want to find what they say funny.
I wanted to go down there and find the next Sarah Silverman.
Right. And we told you to find us a new traffic reporter, too. Remember, we said keep your eyes peeled.
That was off.
Shh. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I didn't
say that out loud. Did I?
Damn it.
Then I pull up and I see a girl dressed as a cow.
What?
Waiting in line.
Oh, no.
And I say, oh, no, here we go. The girl with the wacky, zany act. You know, she's dressed as a cow. My focus is right on her. I said, I'm going to go with her. I'm going to start off right.
Cowgirl.
And I say, listen to me. Don't give me your cow shtick. Just give me a chunk of your comedy so I can see what you're working with. And she will not deviate from her, I'm really a cow. This is not a costume, zany, wacky act.
Oh,
and
no.
Listen how this goes.
Costume? I kind of wear it every day.
You dress in a cow's outfit every day.
You kind of hurt my feelings.
Can you give me some sample of your comedy?
But I don't...
I want you to tell me a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cow. Did you see that? Because I have udders. And then I just rolled it right in there because I got milk.
Listen to me. I need you to stop with the cow stuff, with the cow shtick.
What are you trying to say?
Listen to me.
I'm all over it.
I'm asking you a serious question.
I've just, they were milking me all day.
Listen to me. If you don't quit with the fucking cow shtick, I'm going to punch you in your fucking head.
Oh, Mike.
I'll screw you with my udder.
Oh, my God.
Wow. She's committed. What? Committed to her character.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's committed.
Okay, so you went in with an open mind, and that's the first person you talked to.
Number one. Now, my temperature's starting to boil just a little.
This is also kind of like American Idol, where everybody that shows up or who wants to be a superhero, the
sure.
whole group, the auditions,
right.
most of them, 99%, women, men, whatever, bad.
I'm sure there were some funny girls there. I'm just saying, I didn't find any.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There were so many there that I talked to that were bad.
But
so Cow was
first. Is it out of line at all to threaten to beat her in the head because
no.
you don't find her funny?
No. Because I edited that down. That was like 20 minutes of cow talk. So I'm not an official looking guy. I mean, I don't look like a journalist. You see me walking around somewhere with a microphone. I look like some bro from Cal State Fullerton doing like a senior project.
You do. You look like the opposite. Yeah.
Lightning gives me this mic flag that says K-Rock in massive bold letters you can see from like the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
So this one chick sees that and she runs up to me and says, I'm the female Armenian comedian.
Oh, fantastic. Did you get her phone number?
And she's like 70, and I wanted to, but...
I'm in.
Listen, things don't go too well.
Wait a minute. She's the female Armenian comedian and things don't go well?
Listen to me. I immediately start recording when she says, I'm the female Armenian comedian. This is how it goes.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm auditioning. I think so. I am the oldest person. I can be mama to all these little girls. So many bad freaking shows. I'm 57 years old and...
You don't look a day over 70.
My teeth falling out and they put them back in and I just don't care anymore. I don't care.
Do you believe that female comedy is reserved for ugly women?
Who is ugly? Your mama is ugly. Your family, everybody's ugly. No, I'm beautiful from inside out and I love show business, but I hate show business same time because you find a lot of like a stuck up, bad attitude, kind of gorgeous and bimbo type, bad attitude.
You sound bitter that good-looking women get a lot of jobs and you're reserved auditioning for oxygen shows.
I don't think so because my son is 38 and my daughter Lou is beautiful. She's a pretty lady.
What does your son's wife have to do with your physical appearance?
I don't like assholes and don't start an asshole attitude with me because it doesn't work.
That's right.
Be nice to me or get away from my face.
I'm just interviewing you.
Yes, you start to get a little freshened. I don't like your attitude.
You know, a sour attitude is not going to get you anywhere, young lady.
You have a sour attitude. F*** off.
Oh. Thank you.
Nice.
Wow.
So I wanted to get her info.
She approached you.
Guys, yeah. Did we not send the right guy?
Well, we talked about that. Remember on Friday morning off the air during the commercials and songs, we were like, maybe Mike's not the right guy.
It's not a love fest. I'll
but
tell you
having
that.
Said that, yeah, I mean, that
listen
woman?
To the comedy I had to deal with. You act like I'm out of line. I'm out of line for casting aspersions on their comedic abilities. So then I see this really hot chick, like normally she's dressed normally and she's really attractive.
Right.
And I'm confused. I'm like, what is a girl like you doing here?
Don't understand why a girl like you would resort to doing comedy, which is, that's man's work.
Well, you know, I think it's sort of my vein of gold. I look completely normal, but at any given moment I can be completely strange.
You can be strange?
I can be strange.
Let me get a little sample of that.
Of me being strange? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I can just... Was that strange?
What?
I'm not an expert in comedy, but I don't think that would go over well. Say it like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
You know, it most likely wouldn't, but you guys should get your hopes up about my performance.
Can't type, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. Can't type, answer phones?
No, I'm not going to be a secretary. I can't answer phones.
And your uterus doesn't work, does it?
How'd you know?
Because that's the only reason you'd end up here.
Oh,
that is going to be a sad
so
little show.
So much funnier than that girl.
Yeah.
Hey, she made that noise.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
You know, I don't know.
It is kind of weird. It would be like somebody showing up for the American Idol auditions and then being offended when you ask them to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to do comedy, and you can't get one person to say something funny.
And they have to do like a – I asked the audition. People, the evaluators, what they do. They have to do a stand-up chunk.
Guys,
so they have something prepared they could...
This is just like American Idol. They're awful comedians.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
99% of them.
After all this, and there's way more girls I talked to than I brought tape. Finally, I talked to a girl who delivers some comedy.
Really?
Who tries her best, okay? Now you can see why I might have a sour attitude when this is the jokes I'm getting.
What are you doing here today?
I am trying to be funny, funny, funny.
Let me hear you try.
Okay, give me something that you would find in your refrigerator.
Tuna.
tuna, 185 fish walk into a bar. Bartender says, I'm sorry, we do not serve your kind here. And 185 fish say, tuna fish. I do it better in the show. That one sucked. Okay.
Whoa. Time out.
What?
That was it? That was your comedy?
Give me one second.
They'll throw you in an oven in India for that show.
Oh, stop it.
That was horrible.
I'm an improviser.
I can see those improv classes are paying off.
Okay, let me try it again.
All right.
So the 185 fish say, tune out and tune in.
Holy shit.
Yeah, really bad.
All right,
really bad.
I got a joke
it's
for you.
Much better.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Looking for the tuna.
He was hoping to wander into traffic and get hit by a car because he heard you telling comedy.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm the a-hole?
Really?
Well, you really are an a-hole, yes. But they were bad as well.
That is going to be a tremendous show on the Oxygen.
God.
He's going to beat American Idol, I'm guessing.
The golden age of television is here.
The world famous K-Rock. Presents Kevin and Bean's Breakfast.
Breakfast.
With Linkin Park.
Hey guys, welcome. Welcome to the secret location.
Oh, this is intimate. This is 90.
Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Come on.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Linkin Park, guys, right here. Pretty cool, right?
I don't know, guys. As popular as you are, I'm surprised you couldn't draw more people to me. I mean, it's just like, wow, you think, you know?
It's like 100 people in the
Where
in the
do we
forum.
Sit? We sit over here, Lightning?
Yeah.
Is this
you
right?
You guys can sit wherever you want.
Well, good morning, guys. Great to see you again. We've been keeping in touch with you since Minutes to Midnight came out, but man, how crazy, what a juggernaut this album is. I mean, you worked on it a long time. You knew it was good. You expected it to be popular, but this is insane, right?
It's weird. Right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can't really say that we expected it to do anything. We just try to do our best, you know, every time we go in the studio and write the best songs we can, and we just hope our fans will enjoy it as much as we do. And because we have the best fans in the world, I mean, they always support us with everything that we do, and they came out full force on this record. It was amazing.
Is there some point in that year and a half or however long it took you to write and do the record where you started getting into your own head saying, I don't know what it's like then?
I think it was different for every guy. I can speak for myself and saying that there were definitely points when, you know, because this record was so different for us, it just felt like I wondered if any of the fans, if we were going to lose people, if any of the fans are going to be along for the ride on this one. Because, I mean, for us, when we started Minutes to Midnight, I think some of the demos that we first started out with sounded like, you know, stuff that you might hear on Hybrid Theory and Meteora. And to us, when we were writing those things, they just weren't quite as exciting as the stuff that we were writing that sounded different. So we ended up going with more of the stuff that sounded different.
Did you guys put together the whole thing from front to end to have a theme or any kind of a through line, or was it just a lot of the best songs you could write?
It's interesting because we wrote so many demos for the record. I mean, we wrote like 150 songs, basically. And
you're just bragging now, Chester. I mean, seriously. You know how many people can't write one song? You wrote 150 just because you had a year.
It is kind of crazy that we wrote that much music. But at the same time, I think it was interesting how when we finally broke it down to the 11 songs that made the album, how well they all work together and how diverse they all are. I think this is the most diverse record we've ever done. And it's kind of cool how even though each song, you can't listen to one song and say that's what the album represents, you know. But you listen to the whole thing and it kind of grows on you and it all makes sense together. And it kind of just worked out that way.
And there are a couple songs on this record that were really informed by things that you'd seen in the previous years. Things that are going on in the
Absolutely.
World politically, tsunami.
Yeah,
that sort
we well we started a we had been in Southeast Asia when the tsunami. I mean, we'd been in Southeast Asia right before the tsunami hit, and then when it hit, Brad actually was the one that he saw it on the news first, and you know. Sent a message to all of us like, you got to see what just happened. It's insane. You know, these places that we just went to are destroyed. And so we started an organization called Music for Relief. Music for Relief, when after Katrina hit New Orleans, we Music for Relief, you know, we did some things with that to try and help just bring some kind of hope to the people that were out there still trying to put their lives back together. And things like that, you know, the experience we had, some of us got to actually go down to the Ninth Ward in New Orleans and see what had gone on. Stuff like that definitely, you know, influenced and informed the lyrics on the new record.
There's a backlash with some artists when they start talking about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Not that it's not your right to express your feelings in your art, but did that ever occur to you as, man, maybe these aren't the things people, our fans, want to hear us talking about?
You know, we really worked, I think, extra hard on the songs lyrically that kind of dealt with those things, because we don't want to come across as like we're preaching to you, telling anyone what to think or how to live their lives, and we definitely don't want to get involved in politics. You know, we're not politicians, we're musicians, we're artists.
Real quick on that note, like, I think that we really realized that on our trip to New Orleans, because Chester and I in particular, I know we had a couple conversations when we went down there, and we were dealing with politicians from that area, and we were just like, man, this is like so far from our element. Like, really did not feel the whole politics thing.
How do we talk to these people? How do we get through?
It was such an agenda.
Yeah,
know?
there was definitely like a planned out kind of dialogue that they wanted to have with us and get the answers that they needed to get support for their
to save
plan.
Face.
And so for us, it was like if we're going to talk about these things, we need to make sure that we get our point across without, you know, crossing any of those lines that we don't want to have bands, you know, preaching to us, you know. So we spent a lot of time, it was a very delicate thing, and I think that, you know, Mike did an exceptionally good job on, you know, on Hands Held High, and, yeah. you know, that song in particular, I think, moves a lot of people, and I hear more feedback about that song, about how it kind of, like, really brings people out in an emotional way, which is exactly the way that we wanted to touch people. It was an emotional way so that they can make it, feel it, rather than kind of react to it.
Right. And The Little Things Give You Away is a great song.
Thank you.
Great song.
Yeah, that's directly, you know, that directly references our experience in New Orleans.
Brad, did you have something you wanted to jump in with?
I just wanted to say you guys look very handsome today.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
I'm actually surprised that you guys are on the radio because
we're such good-looking guys.
Person.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste, right?
People are missing the whole experience. But I'm getting it, so I feel really, really good about it.
Well, that's an excellent point, folks. If you're just tuning in, a couple of hundred K-Rock listeners behind us. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park happening this morning in K-Rock.
Yes, it is.
This is the one. I mean, really, it's you guys and the Ying Yang Twins. Those are the two we've been waiting for, so I'm glad we got this one under our belt. We're going to take a break. The guys are going to play some more. We'll get to the audience questions when we come back right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Kevin Bean, Linkin Park. Breakfast. Breakfast with Linkin Park. K-R-O-Q.
Super secret location this morning on the World Famous K-Rock. It's the latest breakfast show with Kevin and Bean. And we've been waiting for this one for a real, real long time. One of the biggest and the best rock bands in the world, Linkin Park, has given up their time here this morning. This has been a lot of fun. You know, one of the cool things about doing these breakfasts, guys, and we've been doing them for a long time, is, you know, it's fun for us, obviously, to see you up close and personal, but we love giving the listeners the opportunity to ask you questions personally. And you all have always been so involved with your listeners. I mean, you spend a lot of time on the websites and the fan clubs and the MySpace and everything like that. It seems like you're all committed to that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, from our point of view, it's like, if you don't pay attention to your fans and you don't, you know, give them the respect that they deserve for supporting you and coming to your shows and learning all your music, it's like, what's the point of doing it? It's kind of like, what for me, one of the best parts of being a musician or being a fan of music is actually going to see a live show and that kind of exchange that the crowd has with the band. And, you know, it's great to be on this side, but it's almost as good and probably even better, I think, in a lot of ways, to be on in the crowd kind of experiencing that. And it's, you know, we do everything we can to support our fans because they support us so much, too.
Have you ever been surprised? Have you ever learned something from the fans that they either really, really liked or really, really didn't like that you were surprised by?
You know, for me, it usually comes down to, like, feedback on songs and stuff like that once we put something out, like... We were just talking earlier about the song Bleed It Out. You know, I had always loved, when we did that song in the studio, I had always loved that song. And, you know, when we were putting out, we tend to stay out of the whole business of, like, which song is a single and whatnot because we're not very good at picking them. We learned that on our first record, the label and, you know, stations like K-Rock saying, we think this one's the best. It's like, oh, okay. You guys are the ones playing it, so, like, you play whatever you want. We don't even know what we're doing out here. And I was like, Bleed It Out, and the fans kind of spoke. I know that when we first played, we did some with Stryker.
Right,
K-Rock,
in New York.
We did a thing in New York that was like a world premiere thing. And when we played that song, the room went nuts. And I was thinking, like, oh, thank God. Like, I love that song. And if every crowd reacts like that, then... Hopefully that'll be a single someday.
Did Stryker show you his tail, by the way, when you were with him?
I
know that dude's got a tail, right?
Everybody talks about the tail. I was on Loveline this week, and did you guys happen to hear? I gave him a real hard time about Courtney Love.
No.
She called him up on the air and, like, totally hit on him. You guys
not surprising.
Have to give him crap for this.
But have you seen her lately, dude? She's like Grandma Courtney now.
Really?
I mean, you want Courtney 10 years ago to hit on you. You don't want Courtney now to hit on you.
Dude, I gave him such trouble for it. You guys got to give him trouble for it.
Anyway, all right, we will.
Give Stryker a hard time because it was really funny.
That's awesome. All right, one more question in the audience on Breakfast with Linkin Park. Moments away from their final performance here this morning. Lightning, who's the lucky dude?
I'm out here with Enrique from Southgate. Hey, what's up, man? After collaborating with Jay-Z and the Queen of Dam soundtrack, who are you thinking of collaborating with in the future?
Ooh, good question. You could make a phone call, get almost anyone to come up now.
You know, it's interesting because we're pretty spontaneous about that kind of stuff, and we never really, like, we don't really plan out, you know, like the Collision Course thing was, you know, Jay-Z's camp and MTV actually contacted us and asked us if we would be interested in doing it. Jonathan Davis called me and asked me if I would sing on this, on the Queen of the Dam soundtrack, and it kind of has always worked out that way. So we're pretty much open-minded to working with any artist that we feel is you know, contributing something really creative and original. So, you know, I know that we talked to Bjork in the past, and she wanted to do an original track with us. So, you know, maybe that's still open. That would be kind of cool. But
you still rolling with the Hova, though? You guys still get together, you and Jay-Z? Yeah.
I saw Jay the last time we went through New York. I went over to he has a, like, he, I guess he has a part ownership in this place called Spotted Pig. Have you guys been there? It's really good. It's this little tiny hole in the wall, but like kind of middle high end bar restaurant place. And they've got like the secret room. Actually, they got multiple levels of secret rooms in the back. So of course, I went to the front.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Don't know what you're talking about, dude." almost turned me away. And then I'm like, "Okay." I couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Code word or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, he's changed his phone number after he gave it to you, right?
I know.
Exactly.
No, he's just, you never, in the last couple months, it just seems he's just gotten such a big head. I don't know what it was. He was so down to earth back when he was, you know, the president of a label. And
speaking of down to earth, how great has Linkin Park been here this morning, by the way? Seriously, all of you guys for showing up, doing this for us. Man, it's been so much fun. We really appreciate it. And, of course, Project Revolution is coming to town, and we'll be here before you know it at the end of this month at the Hyundai Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now. Chester, real quick, who's the lineup for folks who maybe haven't heard who's on the project this year?
Well, this year we have My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, Him, Placebo, Julian K. Those are the main stage acts. On the Revolution stage, we have Mindless Self-Indulgence, Seosin, The Bled, Styles of Beyond, and Medina Lake.
That's a day right there. You going to play one more to take us out here today?
Yeah.
One more song.
Let's do a little Bleed It Out.
Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock.
All right, listen, you guys. What we're going to do is we're going to take this up a notch. We've given you guys an easy one so far, but you got to work for this one, okay? So let me see two hands up like this. Even you guys in the back, everybody, two hands up. Okay, you apparently don't know where you're at right now. You're at a Linkin Park show. Hands up. There we go. Put them together like this. Come on. Woo! That's what I like to see. Goes like this. Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. Hand grenade pins in every line. Throw them up, let something shine. Going out of my mind. Filthy mouth, no excuse. Find a new place to hang this noose. Scream me up from atop these roofs. Not a tight, so I won't get loose. Truth is, you can stop and stare. Let myself out, no one cares. Dug the trench out, lay down there with a shovel up out of reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pour it in. Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it.
A sloppy flow, shotgun opera, lock and load, cock it back in and watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed. Death is rolling in every verse. Candy paint on his brand new hearse. Can't contain him, he knows he works. This hurts, I won't lie. Doesn't matter how hard I try. Half the words don't mean a thing, and I know that I won't be satisfied. So why try ignoring him? Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out.
Ah!
making international calls to talk with famous people about stuff. Some bad news if you're a James Bond fan, a fan of that series of movies. The actress Lois Maxwell, who played M's secretary, Miss Moneypenny, in all those movies, like 14 of them, something like that.
Yeah. Right.
Passed away this week. Very sorry. But she was quite elderly. She had a good life, but she passed away, so we thought, who better to talk to about her and her legacy than the great Sean Connery, the original 007, on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, we're very good. How are you?
I'm a little sad, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, we thought you would be, and that's why we wanted to call to express our condolences on the loss of your friend.
Yes. She was a lovely lady, mm-hmm. as well as being a talented actress, and I think she'll be missed, not only by her friends and family, but by all the audiences who enjoyed her work over the years.
Certainly. Now, how many movies did you do with Lois Maxwell as Miss Moneypenny?
Lois and I did 6 films together.
Okay.
Uh-huh. She was in the very first one, Dr. No, with me, as well as From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, and then Diamonds Are Forever, my last one.
And you were really close with her?
Yes, we got to be very close together, especially because we did the first film together.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I knew her earlier, even before we started working together, when we used to do theater. She was originally not British at all. She was from Canada.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, okay.
And I was doing a play in Toronto, and I met her there back when her name was still Lois Hooker, was her name originally.
Really?
Before she got married. Yes.
Lois Hooker?
Yeah. Hmm. And it's funny because she sure did like to f***. So it's appropriate that her name was Hooker.
I'm sorry?
What? What,
she couldn't get enough c***.
Sean, this is...
Lois loved c***.
This is hardly appropriate when the woman is barely cold.
Well, trust me, she wasn't cold then.
Wow.
She was quite the hot thing.
So you have good memories of your relationship with Miss Moneypenny.
We had some great times, and I'm hoping to give this speech about her at her funeral when we have the memorial service.
What speech? Okay. What you're talking about now?
Yes, about...
No! That's not the kind of thing you say at a funeral?
That's how Lois would have wanted it.
She would have?
Yes, because that's what she loved more than anything.
Huh.
And I thought it's important to people that know she loved to be bent over and...
Well, again, with her friends and family and kids, you don't bring something like that up in public,
Sean. Well, they should know that her mother was a great...
Right, but maybe you could pull some people aside and have that conversation. I don't know that you want to do that at the funeral.
I remember in the shed of Dr. No, she f***ed my... so hard once, my literally went up inside my belly.
Oh.
I couldn't for 3 days afterwards.
Okay, listen.
She me out.
We don't need those kind of details, Sean.
On the set of Goldfinger,
right.
She grabbed a giant gold bar we were using as a prop, and she said, please this.
Come on, Sean. Oh. We can't do this.
Me and our job. Teamed her.
Oh, poor Miss Moneypenny. This is terrible.
He used to use her as target practice for that bowler that he threw.
That's Sean. Listen.
I remember on Thunderball, she gave me a blow when I was on a jetpack. Almost ripped the teeth right out of her head.
Oh, that's not good.
Wow.
I hit the...
I'm sorry, what? Sean,
I hit the jetpack and I skyrocketed... up into the air.
Right.
With just her dangling off of my... just holding on by sheer force of suction.
Like a pit bull.
She wouldn't let go.
Just sheer suction.
Wow.
That's how good a... she was.
Okay. Well, we understand, but all the right. Woman's gone now, Sean. How about some decorum?
I'll tell you, she is gone. Yeah. And the world of... is sorrier for it.
All right, no. Listen. We gotta go, Sean.
God, I miss her...
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, we named Miss Double December, and we had a live remote broadcast from the Slide Bar in Fullerton.
I'm sorry to say I don't believe the eventual winner, Cassidy, is on this tape, but another person you may recognize is.
Let's talk about the Details magazine list of the most powerful people in Hollywood under 45.
Yeah, that's right, powerful.
At number 7.
7, y'all.
Kevin Federline.
Kevin Federline, everybody, is joining us here at Fullerton.
Recognize.
The number 7th bitch. Most powerful man in Hollywood under 45.
Who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Who is that punk ass?
Well, for starters, Zac Efron is number 1.
Zac Efron? He's a punk ass chunk.
He
a
is.
Trifling little bitch.
That's true.
That's right.
K-Fed, I gotta be honest. When I heard that you were number 7 on a list in Details, I thought it had to be biggest douchebag. How did you end up being the most influential men list? How did you end up getting on that?
People recognize and respect what I've done. You know, I came from the streets. You know what I'm saying? I didn't choose this life I was given. I was born into it. A hustler, a gangster from the beginning. What you know what I'm saying? I came up slanging yayo. You know what I'm saying? Since birth.
But K-Fed.
Since birth.
But
K-Fed. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm living in the valley. I got a big ass mansion. You know what I'm saying? All the paparazzi up in my grill.
But what if you
accomplished? You know what I'm saying? I'm living the American dream.
But what if
you gotta weigh my balls on a triple beam?
I don't even know what that means.
But I don't
K-Fed,
either.
What have you accomplished besides marrying a fat chick? I mean, that's the extent of what you've done.
Rich.
Well, that's funny you should say that, but a bean? That's what my next song's about. You know what I'm saying? This is called Count Blackula.
Count Blackula.
I have been sucking on the neck of all these bitches that come in my life, taking them for everything they're worth, and I just keep on progressing with my life, and I drop them. Look at what's happened to Britney since I left her.
Yep.
What's that? The bitch done gone bonkers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is
she
true.
She can't live without me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like the host of the cancer. Once I'm done, you done too, bitch.
Okay.
Recognize.
So you're going to perform a song live here?
I think so.
All right.
I wrote it while I was running the board over there with Psycho Mike, so yeah. This might not
douche.
Go too well.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that guy's a douche.
Live music from K-Fed.
All right, hit it, Steve.
Here in Fullerton.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies, you best get an extra pair of panties, because I'm about to hoorah on your face. And boys, you know what I'm talking about. Aww. I'm bigger, I'm badder, I'm blacker than ever. Call me Count Blackula, cause I'm sucking that cheddar out the neck of every bitch that comes my way. The more I impregnate, the more bitches pay. Douchebag, dressing really baggy clothes. Wanna be black so bad I got a bone in my nose. Blacker than Seal, darker than Wesley Snipes. I'm blacker than Gene Simmons' hair at midnight. Wiener so long I got custom-made draws. So white trash I got a mullet on my balls. Bitch, you know I don't play. I smoke weed, rock the Xbox every single day. Ain't got no job, I still make money. When it comes to gold digging, crap ain't funny. I'm K-Fed, number one gold digger. I hate being white, but I love being a wigger. Slick down my cornrows with my soul glow. Pick out my afro, pull down my pants low. Drive a Cadillac, I'm slanging that crack. If I got a good tan, I know I could be black, cause I'm the Afro DG app. I tip my 40, now I'm horny and I'm on the attack. Wiener is long, wiener is strong, and it points to the ceiling when it's time to get it on. Assalamu alaikum, everybody face Mecca. Kevin Fed a line, I'm the home wrecker. Yeah, all right.
Woo!
Keep that going.
K-A-E.
And when I say K, you say Fed. K.
Fed.
K. Fed. When I say kill, you say Whitey.
What?
Kill.
Whitey.
Kill.
Whitey.
When I say Frez, you say no. Frez.
No.
Frez.
No.
When I say K, you say Fed. K.
Fed.
K.
Fed.
That's right, I quit this bitch.
Oh. Woo. Look at that. K-Fed, ladies and gentlemen. Just moved up to number 5.
I remember my early career, 17 cities in 17 years. Just keep getting hired up till you get to a level where you like it, first of all, and where you can handle it. I will not go to New York. I will not go national. I am LA's news, and I hope I deliver the goods, but I got to admit that I don't care anymore. It's because I have the seniority.
2007, of course, the year that we all decided it was time to grow a mustache.
Thank God somebody is finally tackling the tough issues. That's all I have to say. I don't know if our guest Aaron Perlett is running for anything, but I'm certainly going to vote for him. He is the executive director of the American Mustache Institute. It's AmericanMustacheInstitute.org. Aaron, thank you so much for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me on. I actually was going to run for something, but then I had this incident in a bathroom stall where I was kind of rubbing my leg underneath the...
Did you tap 3 times?
Yeah, I did. I put my luggage in front of the door of the guy next to me, so it's really very odd. I don't really like to go into it, so let's move on.
I don't blame you. Listen, is there really... We've been laughing all week when we saw your site, but is there really discrimination going on in this country in 2007 against dudes with mustaches?
Oh, there is no question there is. I mean, even on the home front for me, my wife says, you know, I love the man, not the mustache. There's a lot worse things my husband could be doing, but, you know, I'd prefer you without it. But it, you know, whether you look in the workplace, whether you look in pop culture, whether you look just socially, the mustache certainly went out of fashion the end of the 70s, maybe the early 1980s.
Right.
You know, the last people to really successfully sport the stash were guys like Magnum P.I., which we need to get to because I heard about this whole Nick Cage nonsense. But you know, Tom Selleck, a mustache god who, of course, shaved his mustache when he did Three Men and a Baby. Burt Reynolds is still one of the champions of the mustache. But, I mean, think about the national broadcast spectrum. Who was the last newscaster, an actual anchor, to wear a mustache? It was Walter Cronkite, who left the air in 84.
Right.
You know, the only guys now on air that are still sporting a stash are Geraldo Rivera, I'm not sure he counts, and John Stossel on ABC.
That's what I was going to mention. He's proudly with a mustache on the air every week, right?
He's got a great mustache. But, you know, my goal, a perfect world for me, I want to see Brian Williams on NBC grow a mustache. I want to see Charles Gibson grow a mustache. If Katie Couric wants to grow one, that's cool with me, too. But we want to see that. But there's, you know, there has been a certain level, I think, of discrimination against the mustache American in the workplace as well.
Aaron, what do you do for a living that doesn't have you busy enough?
I'm an international sponge designer and a pastry repair chef.
So you're a comedian.
If there's a Boston cream pie that needs filling, I'm there.
Oh, easy, dude.
Wait, that sounds vaguely nerdy. You know, it's interesting. I'm on your site, AmericanMustacheInstitute.org, and it's funny because you've got these pictures of people who have recently worn mustaches. And, for instance, in the world of film, I guess an actor, when he puts a mustache on, it's a joke. Borat is on your site. Will Ferrell, in his role as the Anchorman, he grows a mustache. It's almost like nobody thinks you can be taken seriously in a movie if you're rocking a stash.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's kind of a shame. That's why, as I was saying, Burt Reynolds is one of the few guys who has consistently worn a mustache since after he did Deliverance, maybe in the early 70s he grew his. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it's almost a parody of someone. I mean, look at Will Ferrell's character in Anchorman. I mean, that was a parody of the 1970s Anchorman.
Right.
In the 70s. You had the mustaches and the turtlenecks going hand in hand everywhere.
I'd like to ask a question just to make sure I'm on the same page as you two. You, Aaron, sound like you're being serious, and Bean's asking serious questions. We're all – this is a big joke, right?
No.
I think, you know, we like – there's no question. There's a lot of fun about the mustache. No question about it. But, you know, we do believe in our mission, and that is to, you know, stand up and try – for the mustached American, and also try to bring the mustache back into popular culture.
Right, but as a punchline, right?
You know what? I'd love to see more people wearing mustaches. I wear a thick, rich, and luxurious mustache, and I'd love to see more people doing the same.
Yeah, but are you just complaining about a fashion trend? I mean, you could as easily be a guy who's trying to bring back the tie-dye shirt. I mean, it's in or it's out, and maybe it'll come back. But I can't imagine that you're going to make that change.
Well, you know, every movement starts with something that helps begin the movement, whether it's some kind of action, whether it's some kind of think tank group like us, or, you know, whether it's some kind of incident that
you're
draws
not a
an
think
e-jerk.
Tank group.
Oh, no, we're a think
you're
tank
not
group.
A think tank group.
We're a
Come
think
on.
Tank group. We're a research organization. You know, we are a catalyst for movement in American culture. The American Mustache Institute is an August group with a proud history.
Hey, hang on a second, because the Anchorman has a response to Lisa's question.
You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Exactly. Hey, two quick things for you, Aaron. Number one is, I think I saw something in your press release that made a reference to discrimination in the courtroom based on a potential juror with a mustache. What's that story?
That was actually from a story in the London Daily Telegraph. There was a Supreme Court case about a juror that was removed for having a mustache. And quite frankly, that was news to me, but... These are the kind of issues that we're looking into, the hard issues, the serious issues.
Dude, that guy's hiding behind something.
He's hiding behind a mustache.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, probably this enormous handlebar thing that no one could stop staring at.
It's like a clown, man. You see that painted on smile and you go, there's something evil underneath there. It's the same thing with a mustache.
And the other point is, Psycho Mike, who works here on the show, who doesn't have a mustache but should grow one, he has a complaint about Keith Hernandez being named as the top sports mustache of all time on your site. Mike, what's your problem with Keith as a selection? Because he's the first name that came to my mind.
You know, Keith Hernandez, great mustache, but how dare you overlook 70s Olympic swimmer Mark Spitz?
All right, let's address this. Let's address it head on. I'm not
is this the big
in.
Controversy?
I'm not ducking anything here. This is controversial, no question about it. July 16th, we put out a news release. asking for votes from the American people of the greatest sports mustache of all time. We put up 12 options, but also allowed for write-in candidates. Keith Hernandez actually was not one of those options we put up. He won as a write-in candidate. If I had a vote...
Was Mark Spitz one of the options?
He was not.
Okay.
He was not. But as a certified mustachologist, I would have chosen Raleigh Fingers.
Nice. Now, that's a great mustache.
He has a tremendous mustache, and he still has his mustache, unlike a lot of sports stars that became known for their mustaches. So Keith Hernandez was voted by the American people, and, you know, while our blue ribbon panel of certified mustachologists put up 12, and those 12 weren't chosen as the winner, we've got to stand by because that's what the people said.
But isn't the lesson of George Bush being elected twice, sometimes you need to just throw out the people's vote and just to appoint someone?
There's more lessons from that than I could even cover here today.
Isn't the lesson from AmericanMustacheInstitute.org that we have too much web use? There's too much
How
internet.
How dare you? How dare you?
There's too much. We have too much internet.
Actually, what I would suggest is that the lesson from American Mustache Institute is that what the network newscasts are covering is not what the American people are interested in seeing because the blogosphere has exploded with interest in the mustache.
Exactly.
American Mustache Institute. Go look at our video on YouTube about our recent stash bash.
Aaron, stop acting like we're going to go check it out, like it's real.
I'm on it right now. I'm looking at it right now. What are you talking about?
What's wrong with you?
I'm going to go look at bloggers writing on a computer about mustaches. What the hell? Come on. Is there a bigger exercise in futility ever?
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Bloggers writing about mustaches.
All right. We're out of time. Aaron Perlitt is the executive director of the American Mustache Institute, and the website is AmericanMustacheInstitute.org. I've made a decision right now. I'm going to start growing one. That's all there is to it. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
it. All right. Bye now.
2007 was the year that assistant producer Alex, the super whore, had sex with all the able-bodied people. Now she moved on to the handicapped. Our assistant producer, super whore, Alex, has just joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
And Alex has a quote-unquote boyfriend already, although she doesn't call him that. And she just nailed Richard Cheese during that Linkin Park song.
That's true.
And she's already got her eye on somebody else at a store that she shops at. She's a goer. God bless Alex.
This is one of the services that we provide for our family here at K-Rock. If somebody needs a little help, we step in and we say, how can we help? She's in love with a dude at Trader Joe's. And she actually goes out of her way to, like, instead of going to the bank to get cash, she'll go to him for whatever. She figures out reasons to go to Trader Joe's because this dude is so hot and she wants to talk to him.
First of all, Trader Joe's rocks.
Yes.
It does rock. I agree with you there.
Because everything's good and cheap. But I was just checking out one day, minding my own business, and I look up and there's this beautiful dark brunette guy. He kind of has, like, a buzz cut. He's big. You know, I like my big guys.
Sure.
And he's got just these light blue eyes. So I'm just kind of staring at him and checking out, and then he starts to talk to me and like ask me, you know how they make the chit chat. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
Sure.
Or whatever. And I realize, oh my God, he's deaf. And for some reason, it was so cute.
Wait, he's deaf?
Yes.
Wait, it's cute that he's deaf?
I mean,
does he read lips? He can talk to you?
Is a hot guy who happens to be deaf, which I think is God's way of like evening out.
Sure.
You know, bunch of guys in a bar. But yeah, he has like the hearing aid sort of in his ear, and his deaf.
That is sexy.
It's sexy.
You know how I hate the handicapped, Alex. This is giving me the heebie-jeebies hearing this conversation.
Oh, then turn it down. But his, I don't know what you want to call it, the deaf accent or
just
whatever.
Is isn't cute. That, the deaf accent is cute.
It's not that strong.
It's an accent.
It's not that strong. I don't know what you want to call it. This sound, you know.
Now, here's what I like about our assistant producer, Alex. That does not at all dissuade her. She's way interested in him.
Dude, he's hot.
In spite of.
Talk about sound down.
Now, what's his name?
I don't know. That's the problem.
How many times have you talked to him?
Well, like 3 or 4. But the first time I was so distracted by his eyes, I didn't look. And then the next time he wasn't wearing it, and I keep forgetting. I swear to
you
God.
Don't, so you don't know his name?
I don't know his name. I just know that he's gorgeous. And then I texted my girlfriend when I left. I'm like, is it wrong I have a crush on the deaf guy at Trader Joe's? And she said she has a deaf guy her Trader Joe's.
Oh,
cute.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
What? Well,
they, have a, they have one position in each store for a hot deaf guy?
No.
What the hell?
But I am not alone in my love.
this is going to break Kara Lister Nick's heart if he's listening, but could this deaf guy have you? Could he have you the way a man has a woman if he wanted to?
Oh, he could have me across the granola in aisle three.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's that serious. Well, would you like us to call him for you and maybe make the introduction? Maybe
no.
Let him know how you're feeling about him.
No, we're not going
to. We actually Lightning got him on the phone. So
what?
I think let's go to Trader Joe's. Good morning. Hello?
Morning, Trader Joe's. Can I help you?
Oh, hey. What's his? You don't know his name?
I don't know his name.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, and we'd like to speak to the... do you have an employee that can't hear that's deaf?
Excuse me?
Do you have an employee at your Trader Joe's that's deaf?
Yes, we do.
Can we talk to him?
All right.
We'd like to speak.
1 second.
All right.
That was awkward.
I feel like an a-hole saying that.
Kind of are an a-hole.
So rude, Kevin.
Help if you knew his name. Then I could say his bill there.
It's just the hot guy at the Trader Joe's in Manhattan Beach. What do you want?
Is he... Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear us?
not well.
Okay. It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio. What's your name?
Are you Kevin and Bean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. What's your name,
good.
Sir?
Leonard.
What's your name?
I'm sorry?
Leonard.
Lettuce?
What's your name?
Lennon.
Lennon?
Lennon.
Like
John Lennon.
Like John Lennon.
Leonard.
Leonard.
Okay, very good.
Lenny.
No, he's way hotter than a Leonard.
Call me Lenny.
Well, it's his name. What do you want from us?
Leonard.
All right. Lenny, the reason we're calling is a friend of ours who works on our radio show with us comes into your Trader Joe's store.
Yeah.
Are you the store down in Long Beach, by the way?
The Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach, okay.
Yeah.
Comes into Manhattan Beach store and thinks you're cute and hasn't had the nerve to be able to talk to you and ask you out, but she likes you very much.
Who is it?
Hi, Leonard. My name's Alex. I go to your store all the time because you're by my house, and I just think you're very handsome and you're very nice to me every time I come in.
She's the blonde that talks to you every time she comes in.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I know her.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
You
okay.
Remember me?
Yeah, I remember you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm usually buying a lot of wine and not so much food.
Yeah, I know that you would like to drink a lot.
Oh, really?
And usually like a push-up bra, too. They're right in your face. You can't avoid them.
Yeah, I know that she dressed pretty tutty.
What?
She dresses pretty tutty.
Slutty.
Pretty tutty. Yeah, she does.
Oh, slutty. Oh, yeah.
She always buys the condom, too.
She buys a lot of condoms?
Yeah. Trader Joe's known for their condoms.
Yeah, and olive oil.
Olive oil? Wow, yeah. Okay.
And monkey chow.
And what?
Monkey chow.
Monkey chow?
Yeah, food for monkey.
She does? It's an odd choice.
I snack on it before bed. What
right.
And a lot of douche.
What?
Oh, I hope I didn't hear that right, Lenny.
Yes.
Come on.
Hey, Lenny, is there some sort of policy at Trader Joe's? Are you allowed to date your employee, your customers, I mean?
Oh, she wants to date me.
She wants to have sex with you in aisle three.
Can I go on a date with you and then get a case of, like, $2 Chuck?
Oh, what?
She'd like to date you.
Oh,
like,
what?
Can I go on a date with you,
no,
Lenny?
No, I'm sorry, I can't hear.
She heard us. You heard everything else. You know exactly.
Hear.
Is the deaf guy pretending the deafness now?
I can't hear what you're saying.
She wants to have sex with you.
Nope, not coming through.
Oh. Lenny, are you gay?
Not getting anything here.
Are you gay?
Nothing hitting the cochlear implant.
But you heard us fine before you knew who we were talking about. You remembered her as a customer. You remember what she buys.
Uh-huh.
Then she asks you out, and all of a sudden you're deaf?
Yeah. No, I can't hear you.
Do you not think I'd be fun? I'm a fun
date. Oh, I'm sure you'd be fun. Everybody tell me you're fun.
Oh, all right. Do you have a wife or a girlfriend?
I'm incredibly hot.
Yes.
You are. Lenny, you are a very handsome man. You
kind of
look, you're always a little kind of like sandy and wet, like you were just surfing.
Yeah, I like to surf a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you can hear her fine now, though.
I'm smoking hot. I could get like hot chata chicks.
I'm sorry, what?
I could get hotter chicks.
You could get hotter chicks.
You could love those MILFs that come in, and they're cute SUVs, and they're little kids.
And they give me a big tip for helping with the bag.
Yeah.
What's the tip?
I can't compete with that.
What?
What's the tip?
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Really? That's convenient, isn't it?
Funny how that goes in and out.
It is so handy. Being deaf.
I bet it is.
I recommend it to everyone.
Lenny, if you don't mind, I have kind of a theme song for you lovers. Would you mind if I played that? Just a song that kind of represents the relationship between you and our assistant producer, Alex.
God, I hope the deafness kick in again.
No, this. I think you'll be able to hear this. Here you go.
All right.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I am
so sexy, but I can't hear you.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I still can't hear you.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I can't hear you.
Okay, there you go. Is that beautiful?
I'm Dave. I'm not retarded.
One of the things that my partner Bean loves and is total bullshit is the world's largest.
Interesting you should say that, because that's the world's largest wrong statement that's ever been said.
My partner Bean is obsessed with the world's largest whatever, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
And that's why it's time for this new feature.
World's largest bullshit. World's largest bullshit.
Come on.
World's largest bullshit. World's largest bullshit.
Sounds How about right. world's worst theme songs? How about that as a new list?
I'm fond of that one because it addresses exactly what's going on here.
What's the I don't understand. Look, you may not understand why I love the world's largest and why I've traveled to see so many of them in this great country of ours. But I don't understand why you hate them so much. I mean, why? If I want to go to the world's largest clam in Pismo Beach, why do you care if it exists and thousands of people every year go and visit it and enjoy it?
I will tell you why. Because when you dragged me to the world's largest pecan, do you remember that?
Sure.
In Texas.
We were in Texas anyway, right? So we went to the world's largest pecan.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I'm just trying to see.
It was only like 90 minutes out of our way,
yes,
Kevin. Come on.
I know. So we drove 90 minutes one way. And let me tell you something about the world's largest pecan. Not a pecan. They made it out of cement. It was cement in the shape of a pecan.
But that's the case of most world's largest.
That's why they blow. They're not the real thing.
Look, when I went to see the world's largest buffalo a few years ago in North Dakota, it is the size of a four-story building. That's way cooler to me than just going to see a 1,000-pound buffalo. I want to see
world's
a huge...
Largest buffalo. World's largest bullshit.
Is this because I sent you the photo from vacation last week of the world's largest chainsaw up in British Columbia?
Yes. I have two problems with that. One is you won't open and are rude to every single person that sends you anything.
Good point.
That's not true. That's not true. I never mind people sending me personal stuff. I just don't like people sending me internet forwarded stuff.
No, but even stuff from us, even if we say, hey, maybe we should do something with this, or hey, look at this picture, maybe, he won't even open ours.
Yeah.
You have the nerve to send us the world's largest BS. He sent me a picture over the holiday, over our 4th of July, of the world's largest chainsaw.
That was a big chainsaw, though.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a chainsaw
at all.
It was a
really big chainsaw.
It was some kind of plastic. It was not a chainsaw.
It wasn't a chainsaw?
No!
No, it was a chainsaw. It was a chainsaw.
It wasn't.
It was.
It was not a functioning chainsaw.
It was a chainsaw.
It was whatever materials, plastic or whatever, in the shape of a chainsaw. But unless it's a chainsaw, it can't be the world's largest chainsaw because it's not one.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you drive down to LAX and drive by the world's largest donut there at Randy's, don't you go, hey, that's the world's largest donut. That's pretty cool.
No, I say that's a huge fake donut right there, but not a donut.
It doesn't have to be a real donut.
Yes, it does.
It's the world's largest donut.
No, it's not.
It's in the shape of a donut.
Okay, so it should say world's largest thing in the shape of a donut. World's largest thing that might somehow look like a chainsaw.
I don't understand why that distinction is so important to you.
Because it's not what you're saying it is. It's not a pecan. It's cement. So what if it's the world's largest cement pecan? Anybody could make a bigger one.
That's true.
If it's actually the world's largest pecan, now that's something because it's the biggest thing of its kind.
I would like to see a really, 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 really big real pecan.
Well, I wouldn't, but...
But I'd rather see that than a piece of cement.
Yeah, okay,
shaped like a pecan.
So he drags me to the world's largest pecan, right? And I get all angry because it's not a pecan, it's cement. I'm just going, what? And I was yelling. Ask him how many times he's been back to the world's largest pecan.
Which hasn't changed at all, I'm assuming.
In Seguin, Texas, wherever that is. Ask him how many times he's been there.
How many times you been, Bean?
Well, I mean, I've been four times total, but every time has been for a different reason. I've had people with me or something, or it's just had been a couple of years and I wanted to see how it was looking. I mean, there was always a reason to go back. I mean,
it's cement.
It
how
is
does it
cement.
Change?
It's going to look like cement.
It's a really big pecan, though. It isn't. It's a really big cement piece that looks like a pecan. You know what it is? It's the
world's largest bullshit.
Okay, now I'll tell you something else. World's largest ball of twine?
Yeah.
You know why that's okay? Ball of twine.
It's a ball of twine.
Actual ball of twine. So you don't have any problem with that. But if you go see the world's largest egg in Winlock, Washington, you want it to be an actual egg.
If it's not an egg, I'm going to stab somebody. Because that's false. Because you have to go way out of your way to see this BS. You have to like, oh, I'm going to take this road. 90 minutes we traveled for the world's largest fake cement pecan.
Sometimes they're right. When I went to see the world's largest potato chip a few years ago in Pocatello, Idaho, that was right in downtown. It was not out of my way at all. It was
cool. Was it an actual potato chip?
It was.
Okay, fine.
All right,
I'm fine with that.
We're good.
Tell me about the chainsaw you sent me a picture of.
I believe that was an actual chainsaw.
That
I didn't get out and touch it.
Something?
I didn't get out and touch it, but I believe it was built at – I think it was a real chainsaw. I really do.
It was blue plastic.
I don't remember it being plastic.
It was blue plastic.
It was like 12 feet long, though. It was a pretty big chainsaw.
Did you see a chain on it?
I didn't get that close
to it. Yeah, you know what? Chainsaws have chains.
It looked like a big serrated wiffle ball bat. It was in no way a chainsaw.
I don't care about the world's largest whatever. You could enjoy that if you want, but stop sending me photos of things that aren't things. Remember the world's largest cowboy boot?
I do. I do remember seeing that.
Me
that
there
was in
too.
Texas. Yeah,
not a cowboy boot.
Was in Texas. Well,
you know what?
It was the shape of a cowboy.
Yes, it was, but it wasn't a cowboy boot. So it should be the world's largest piece of leather that we've made look like a cowboy boot. Fine.
By the way, that donut at Randy's Donut, not the world's largest donut.
It's not?
Apparently, for their 50th anniversary celebration, Winchell's Donuts in Pasadena made the world's largest donut actually out of a donut.
Kicks your donut's ass!
Weighs 5,000 pounds.
You got served! See, that's the thing. That's why, that's why it's worthless. Because anybody that wants to can make a bigger world's largest pecan because it's not a pecan.
Right.
So you can
just
get more cement. You win.
Fascinating. Sure. But until they do, though, that is the world's largest pecan. That's what I'm saying. Until somebody makes a new one, that's the world's largest.
Here's where I want you to clarify. Take the word pecan out and tell me what it really is.
Let me tell you what the solution is, by the way, and then we've got to take a break. But when I was in Kansas earlier this year, I drove through Lucas, Kansas, right? And they have there the collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things. Now, I think that makes everybody happy because I get the world's largest things, and they're not the real things, but they're tiny, tiny versions of the world's largest things, and they don't annoy you.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Maybe that's the answer.
If they have a mini version of the world's largest chainsaw, then it does bother me because it's not the world's largest chainsaw.
But it's the world's smallest version of the world's largest chainsaw.
No, no, no. It's the world's smallest version of the world's largest piece of blue plastic that's made in the shape of a you can't see the difference?
Wow. Why can't anyone make you happy?
How many people enjoyed that email from Bean with the picture?
I hope everyone. I hope you all did.
No one!
Why do you hate America?
Seriously. My eyes are deleted.
Don't you have to leave the room now and get to an Al-Qaeda meeting?
Every year, the list comes out of the people with the most money, and every year, it's pretty much the same.
Until this one. Lisa May, what country immediately springs to mind when I tell you this is where the second richest man in the world lives?
Well, I would think in the U.S.
You are correct. Mexico City, ladies and gentlemen. Mexico City has the second richest man in the world. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you that I'm sure Lightning has admired this guy for years because he loves the billionaires. I never heard of this guy before this week. But Carlos Slim is his name. So it's Bill Gates at number one. And this guy, who apparently made his fortune in wireless telecommunications, is number two. He's worth $53 billion. Okay?
Whoa.
$53 billion.
That is unbelievable.
In a country where minimum wage is about 50 cents an hour.
It does seem like he could own Mexico. It just seems like he could literally buy everything in Mexico for $53 billion. But we thought, how crazy is this? And what a unique opportunity we have to talk to the man himself on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Buenos dias, Kevin. How are you, man?
We're good. How are you?
I'm rich, baby. Hey, Chico, I'm rich. Hey.
Is that
good morning to you, man.
Was that a gunshot?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you like
okay.
that?
Okay.
Why, baby?
Right, but why
are you not, Chico?
Okay, but why? We like you very much, Mr. Slim. But why are you shooting off a weapon? It seems like that would be dangerous.
Because I can, bitch. Rico, hey, take that, eh?
Now, there is part of the story that's a little bit troubling is that you were criticizing the philanthropy of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Hey, why you give your money away, you pussy, huh? I work off for the money, you know what I'm saying?
And you said businessmen can do more good by building solid companies than by, quote, going around like Santa donating money.
That's right, man. You know why? They're weak, man. Made my money on the streets. I sell jiggles, you know. I do the donkey show and I'm a little boy.
No.
You know, there's like 7 years old with the mustache. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I sell chicles. And now I make TV and I make money, baby. Yeah.
Okay, it says here, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it says here you have Latin America's largest mobile phone company.
That's right. I'm multimedia, baby.
You have banks. You have internet providers. You have oil industry.
Anything
and
you want.
Retail stores
Anything
and restaurants.
Anything you want. Okay. I get you what you want.
All right.
But here's what I don't understand, senor.
I got chicken too, bitch. I got chicken. You want chicken, Chico?
No, thank you.
No, we don't need a chicken.
I'm rich.
But here's, I think, what Kevin was asking is, why are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, why are they, to put it in your words, pussies for trying to improve the world by giving money away? I mean, they're using their money to help, cure diseases, get clean water to Africa, and they're doing a lot of good with it.
Because, Chico, you want to know what I do with my money?
Right.
Let me see here. Look at this Dodger blanket I got, eh?
You have a Dodger blanket?
It's so warm. I was cold. Now I'm warm.
But how much money
did... It's got Dodgers on it, eh?
Don't they give that away free, sir?
Hey, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but
I
with 50...
1983 Nissan mini truck. I just put a huge mural on it where I'm dressed like an Aztec and there's a waterfall hitting my head and my girlfriend, my highness, next to me and she's got bullets covering her chichis. It's beautiful.
But with $50 billion, you could buy the company that makes the car. You don't just have to buy a beat-up used car. You could do so much more with that money.
Hey, I'm Mexican. I got $50 billion, no credit. You know what I'm saying? Universal City, Nissan, what can I do? Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I got a floor-to-ceiling stained glass window with the Virgin Mary. In a Raider jersey.
In a Raider jersey.
That does sound impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
You sound like you're quite out of breath, sir.
I'm rich.
Yeah?
I'm fat.
Okay.
Hey, I talk about my hyena. I got the mural on my truck.
Uh-huh.
I bought that bitch lifetime supply of press-on nails, hairspray, and eyebrow pencil.
That doesn't sound like That doesn't sound like much of a dent in your wealth.
There's eyebrow pencils all over the house. It's amazing. You want to do an eyebrow? I said, walk over there. Mira, look, eyebrow pencil right there, everywhere. Look right here. Look at me, find one. Look at that. Oh, eyebrow pencil in my hand.
Well, you're living the big life. I'll tell you that.
Huge tattoo. Mr. Cartoon come down with a tattoo on me.
Oh, you got cartoon.
Of my mom in her baptism dress.
Right.
Holding two guns, doing the L.A. Dodgers sign with their fingers. Her nails are like 3 inches long.
That's a hell of a tattoo.
I pay the Gap Man and Rolls Royce to live in my house and play me do a song all day.
Is that right?
And, you know, Drew Barrett is playing for me.
They live with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm living the life, Chico. And I tell you what, man. I got a pool in my backyard.
Right.
So I go swimming, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
I bought 15 pair of Levi's so I can go swimming every day.
You don't have a swimsuit?
Why don't you wear a swimsuit?
That's what you wear in the pool, right? In the water, you wear Levi's.
Levi's? No.
But I have a swimsuit.
You wear board shorts.
No. You go in the water, you need the Levi's.
Okay.
All right. Maybe the Dickies.
One of our friends who is the funniest man on earth, Jay Moore.
Wants to see Mike take his shirt off first thing when he walks in. Hey, what the hell's going on down there with you, Jay Moore?
Untrue. Mike has... I call him Wayne Krebet.
I don't get
What's
the
wrong with the mic? I'm talking well, on top of it.
I know,
it's
but
in
you
my
sound
mouth.
Like, but you sound like lightning when you don't talk into the... There you go. That's
you talk right into the right part.
Who nicknamed Jay Tillis Lightning? Lightning!
We named him that because he's really, really slow.
Slow. Yeah. Okay.
That's why.
Okay. He looks like Wayne Krebet and Johnny Damon in the same body.
Psycho Mike?
Whatever you want to call him.
That's his nickname. That's what we call him.
But is he a psycho? Every time I see him, he's super level-headed.
He's killed people.
We sit around. We talk about winstrel cycles.
That's right.
He's killed people.
But Jay Moore is in the studio. It's the world-famous K-Rock Kevin Amin Show. The thing is, though, it got awfully gay in there for about 90 seconds, right after Jay walked in and started massaging
Bean.
Mike's nipples
no,
and talking to
Bean.
Him.
Okay,
well, what's going on
guy,
with that?
He's got a new tattoo on his chest, and I go, let me see your tattoo, and the only way to show it without ripping your shirt or cutting it off like he's in an ER is to take your shirt off. That's you're right. So... No, time out. You're so gay... in your little abode that when Psycho Mike takes his shirt off and I go, hey, nice tattoo, that's when you're jagging out
No, that is not true, J-Bor. What happened
Why,
was that
you... Where are your hands? I can't see your hands.
Because then you started you started doing play-by-play of every inch of Sweet Mike's body. Oh, look at those biceps. Oh,
no.
Let me see you flex. Oh, look at his nipples. Am I lying or am I telling the truth, Kevin?
Let me see you flex.
If you're Psycho Mike, he's Gay Bean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is gay.
And all I said was that Psycho Mike had gay nipples. He had gay nipples. And then Kevin said,
I don't even know what that means.
What are gay nipples? Kevin said, what are gay nipples? And then I said, gay nipples are when other guys pulling on them while they're making out.
That's what Mike's got. That
He's
is
got
true.
Big,
right
long gay
that.
Nipples. And you know, when you go to the gym... Go ahead, Mike.
Well,
I'm sorry,
I was
going to
say, don't worry about them. We run into this problem whenever we have any guest that has a good physique or at all takes care of themselves, because they're such slobs and they really don't care about their appearance whatsoever, and they just hate on us. That's what they do. They hate. On us.
Maybe they hate on you. Don't bring me into your internal world.
Hey, I got to agree with them that you incited all this. I had nothing.
I said, let me see your tattoo. I'm trying to make you feel good.
And then you said.
So why are you going to get lippy with me now?
Because then you
said. I'll hit you in the head with my pink coffee mug.
I was trying to defend you.
Think I'm gay with my pink coffee mug.
How about a little less French kissing between you guys? Come on.
How about the fact that the gay guys at the gym are the most giant, cut up, ripped up, best in shape guys?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I don't know why that is. And then I realized, I know why it is. The gay men at the gym get to shower with who they want to have sex with. Like, if I could go to 24-Hour Fitness and have free access to the women's locker room, and no one would bother me, I'd get there at 5 a.m. and I'd leave at like 5 a.m. I'd work chest until I couldn't lift my arms up over my nipples. And then they'd go, you know, some girl would be there shaving, you know, like somebody dropped a pork chop on the barbershop floor. And then I'd be like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, nothing. I think I'm going to work chest. And I'd be like, me too. Let's go back out there and get after it. I just watched you soap your butt for a half hour.
Jay, what's acceptable to you in the pursuit of that body in terms of what you're willing to take? Are you an HGH guy, a steroids guy, a nothing guy, a vitamins guy? What do you do?
I'm an HGH guy. Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm HGH and Celtec.
What is Celtec? I don't know
what that
is.
It's just a drink after you work out.
No. But HGH isn't the important part of
that. What do I know about it? I weigh 185 pounds. Why are you asking me?
Well, you look like you've been working out. You got the porn stash.
Yeah, I just
thought. Yeah. I have a, he said, who, I'll let you say it, sweetie.
Mr. Moore walked in. I said, he looks like Jeff Kent of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ladies and gentlemen, he said it like an old Jewish comic. He looks like Jeff Kent. Jay Moore walks in, he looks like Jeff Kent. Psycho Mike sounds like Regis Philbin. It is a cookie duster, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Why the porn stash? What's that
for? It's
not
awful,
right?
It's strong.
I see a lot of blacks at Red Lobster. What's the problem? I go to Red Lobster and it's like, you know, I didn't know there was a hostile takeover.
Well, they're allowed to go. Anyone can go to Red Lobster.
See,
it's fine.
Now, you're the guy just now that makes it kind of like a weird racial thing when you interject, well, they are allowed to go.
Well, I'm just saying, what's your problem with them going to Red Lobster?
I just don't know. There's 11% of the population is black. 80% of the population at Red Lobster is black. It's like when you go to an NBA game, you go, wow, everyone on the court is black.
Right.
You don't go, well, they're allowed to play basketball, Jay. It's just kind of like certain people are good at certain things.
Maybe they're really good at eating lobster. I'm just
saying. Thank you for
saying
that for me.
I don't think there's a lot of
shellfish allergies in the black community.
Maybe that's exactly what it is.
Not a lot of sunburn and not a lot of shellfish allergies.
Making sure you never forget that time we did that thing. Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and
right.
I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have a, if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have, well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of, course.
Of all, but
sure.
You can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
It.
You have to talk to somebody
you
if you want
to,
okay?
And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to cancel.
That interesting?
So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. You had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or they'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money, is charging you every month. So.
I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Wow. Just knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years. And it's back in the news this week. And I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace. Okay. Some dude with
this
a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone, who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL. And here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I wanted to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
This is quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do you have a high-speed connection, like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that? The
years.
High-speed?
Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago, not recently. Well,
okay, I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. Is that for business or for
Dude, what for difference school? Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last year was 540. Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, please. Explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with.
Yeah, I am trying to help.
Helping me. Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel.
No, it wouldn't
account.
Actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
The worst thing that.
Cancel the account.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to figure.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
Could you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds like a joke. Come on,
that guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel
the
account?
No.
I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up because that just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for broadband. We think everybody should be fast, don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay.
That was a recording.
It's better, though. It's better. You don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to the snappy music.
Yeah. Why can't they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel.
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
Two, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
Three, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone, press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What?
I'm sorry, could we hear that again?
I'm sorry, you pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2.
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
To upgrade your AOL account to high speed, press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion,
hit 4
press
again.
2.
Just hit 4 again. Let's get
to
past
pay your
this
bill,
menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44. That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4
several
times.
1. Upgrade for broadband.
I don't want
to
upgrade.
One.
Come on.
Two, right. For
just
a common
Kevin,
suggestion,
hit 4
two.
Just once. Just hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey, what are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit 4 again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
We cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
That's a common suggestion, press... Okay, you want to quit AOL.
Yes!
All right, here are your choices.
Right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes.
Hang up.
Hang up.
Hang up.
How that won't work.
All right, press 6.
Big trouble in Mexico. I don't know if you've seen this, but Mexico's National Association of Actors Union are the ones that are responsible for the voice actors who translate The Simpsons into Spanish.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. We know, we think of, Dan Castellaneta, for instance, is our Homer Simpson for the last 18 years. But there's a guy who plays Homer in many countries around the world. You know, there's an Indian Homer, and then there's a Mexican Homer, and then, there's a Portuguese Homer. I mean, it's very funny to think that there's a whole another set of Simpsons out there.
And these Simpsons, apparently this union, the Mexican National Association of Actors Union, went on strike in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the producers told them to get them to come back off strike is we will let you do the movie as well. And now apparently they're being told they can't do the movie.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
Now, this Simpsons movie we've been waiting for, it seems like 10 years since they first said they were going to put a movie out, but it's finally coming out this summer. In a couple of months, it's going to be coming out. So it seems like now would be the time that these guys ought to be voicing the movie if they're going
to
do it.
I went to see Shooter over this past weekend, and there was a trailer for this, and I was so excited to see the Simpsons movie. But the guys who do the voices in Mexico apparently are not being used for the movie. They're upset. They're threatening to strike again.
Well, that seems bogus.
They're saying, look, you told us we could do the voices. We're the voices in Mexico. Why would you be against that?
Yeah.
And, I don't understand it.
I don't know exactly what's going on, but we had Lightning track down the National Association of the Actors Union in Mexico, and we have them on the phone to try and figure out exactly what's going on down there with the voices for the Simpsons movie. Good morning.
¿Qué pasa? What's up, eh?
Hi there. What's your name, sir?
My name's Rudy Cisneros. How you doing, vato?
Rudy?
Rudy?
We know you.
Rudy, it's Kevin and Bean calling from K-Rock.
Nah. Seriously?
Is this our Raiders fan, Rudy?
Yeah, what's up, eh?
We asked Lightning.
What's happening?
Why did Lightning give us Rudy? We asked for the Mexican National Association of Actors Union.
Yeah, that's me, eh? I just got a new job. I came down here in Mexico, the other day I smoked some crazy, some weed with my homeboy Little Maniac and Trucha, and I guess they, sprinkled some angel dust or something in there, eh?
Yeah.
And, next thing I know, I woke up in Mexico, and, I got a fly job.
But you're not an actor. I mean, this is the union that represents the voice actors, in this case, that are working for The Simpsons. That's not you. You don't do that.
Dude, you got, they had to take, whatever they can get. I did some extra work on Baywatch in 1996.
Right.
And they're like, that's enough credit for us, eh? And, now I'm running stuff down here.
Okay, wait a
minute. Voices. I'm delegating people. It's crazy.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that the actors that do the voices are on strike now and you're the strike breaker?
Yeah, and I'm also filling in. I've been doing some voices for the Simpsons episodes, while they're on strike, eh?
Do you do the Simpsons? Do you do voices?
Well, I mean, I try. You know, the hard part is I don't speak Spanish.
Well, that makes sense.
That seems a little bad.
Well, like I said, any port in a storm, eh? All the voice actors in Mexico, they're striking. So, they had to take whatever they can get. I guess they're, outsourcing to some cholos in the U.S., eh? So, I made my way down there.
Wow. Outsourcing bites everybody in the ass, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
You know, I thought the king of Mexico, our friend Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here, Carrick, was the only guy who speaks with this much of an accent and can't speak Spanish. I'm so confused by you now, Rudy.
I'm a product of my environment. environment, eh? That's what my counselor at high school used to say, eh? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just do what I just, like, emulate what I was hearing back in my house, you know, growing up.
So are the Simpsons actors, the voice actors, are they out in front with signs saying, you know, hell
yeah,
no, we won't go,
yeah,
or whatever?
They're saying that, but I
si se puede?
In Spanish, yeah, so I don't know what they're saying. Like, I just make a move when I walk into work, you know what I'm saying? Like, get out of my way, puto.
Do they spit on you?
And I got to do some work, you know? And they, no, they don't spit on me. They know better, eh? They see the teardrop under my eye. They see the, okay, they see the mi vida loca. They know, eh?
Okay.
I got
okay.
my Raiders beanie down tight, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Sure. Rudy, I don't understand. So what are the Simpsons episodes like, though, if you're the guy who's supposed to be translating into Spanish and you can't speak Spanish? I don't understand how that would work for the people watching the show in Mexico.
I figured you guys might have, like, some questions, you know, like what it's sounding like.
Right.
So I actually sent over some MP3 files this morning because I knew, like, you guys were going to talk to me. I sent it to Lightning. I didn't know you guys were going to, like, be, you know, blowing me up on the show like this, but I think you guys might have some clips, eh?
What's the, I have a CD, or what is this?
Well, like, this is going to be this Sunday's episode. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best because I don't speak Spanish and I don't really do voices in the past. So this is Marge and Lisa having, like, a mother-daughter moment, eh? You know, and I just did it the best I could. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
All right. So okay. here's scene number one with Rudy Cisneros, who's now voicing The Simpsons.
Órale, Lisa, where have you been? Oh, hi, moms. I've been at the El Monte Mall preparing for my big Valentine's Day date with Ralph Wiggum. Oh, how great. Where is he taking you? Ralph just got a fly new pompadour haircut, and he's going to take me to the Morrissey concert to try and release some anger and frustration from our harsh Latino lives. That's great, Lisa. And that white blouse with black bra looks so sexy on you. Thanks, Mom. And how about my eyebrows? Don't they look great? Yeah, who did it? Little Pukey's cousin, Skranta. Oh, Lisa, you're growing up right before my eyes.
Rudy, that doesn't sound anything like Marge and Lisa, though. Nothing.
Well, the last,
you're not even trying
bit.
To do their voices.
Look, eh? All right, if you want to make fun of the product.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
We're just. No,
don't
no, no.
Question my effort, eh?
No, but what
don't
we're saying
question
is.
My effort, okay?
No, but what we're saying is that the voice actors in Mexico, they try to make it sound like the original.
I was trying it.
Well, those were two. There was a mom and a daughter there, a little girl.
Why are you making fun of me, eh?
Well, I'm just saying best. You didn't
you know
try.
What I'm saying? You've been picking on me for years. Should I say, go out, get a job, become something, Rudy. Now I got a job.
Okay,
I'm like, you know,
okay.
I'm blowing
all
up.
Right, we apologize.
Do you think Matt Groening is going to be excited about Little Pukey being worked into the episode?
He's a good guy. You don't even know that, Vato.
All right.
We don't need to mock. Eh? We got one more clip.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah. This one is Homer and Bart, and they're like hanging out at the pad in Springfield. Check it out.
Okay, now, so these are guys, so I imagine you do a pretty good Homer. I mean,
dude, it's unbelievable. You're like going to believe it's the real Simpsons.
Okay, here you go.
What's up, Bart? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just watching the Raider game, hanging out, smoking that bomb ass yesca that Milhouse sold me. That smells like some bomb chronic ass skunk weed, eh? Can I hit that? Of course you can, Homer. Take a pull off this, vato.
Well, that's flawless, Rudy. That's good work.
Can I hear the dough one more time?
All right, hold on, eh? Meanie, meanie, meanie. Dope.
That's pretty good.
We've been able to somehow ignore Larry King from CNN for the first 90 years of his life. Now that he's crazy, we are all about him.
Well, because nothing's funnier than a guy with Alzheimer's having a TV show. Dog the Bounty Hunter is on the apologetic tour.
Yeah.
That's what he started last night on the Larry King program. For folks who haven't heard the story, basically, Dog the Bounty Hunter, who's a host of a very popular show on the A&E channel, or was, it's since been pulled since the controversy broke out, he was tape recorded by his own son, who then sold the tape to the National Enquirer. I found out last night, Kevin, by the way, for $15,000. That's how much the Enquirer paid him.
Right.
And they caught Dad on tape saying the N-word.
Right.
All right? And that's where all hell broke loose, understandably. And that's why he's on the tour and he's on with Larry last night. And it was the first time I had a chance to see him. And I thought he came off as a guy who his whole world has just fallen apart and he's taken full responsibility for it and wants to claw his way back, wants to get people to forgive him, wants to move on, and wants to promise to never do it again, which I think is a good start, I think.
But not enough. Let's be honest. Nothing's enough.
Oh, wait. Let's let you hear a little bit of what the dog had to say on Larry King Live on CNN last night.
I've been here several times sitting in front of you. Tonight I felt like I was coming to the electric chair. Really? I'm sorry to tell you personally. First of all, I'm very sorry. I know you had also a lot of faith in me. I'm very sorry for using that word. Please don't think any less of me, and I'm going to fix it.
All right, let's discuss it. What's in your head right now?
Well, just sad.
He just finished saying that.
It did seem a little bit like the question was to the one that he just answered.
And by
as
the way,
he started
every
the
guest that goes on Larry King feels like they're going to the electric chair because Larry King's interviewing skills have gotten a little worse over the years.
I wish for the electric chair some nights just watching Larry King as a viewer. Yes,
a way to fix this and where it would never happen again, and that you know how sorry I really am to say that, and try not to use any excuses why I would have said it, but to never say it again.
It is funny, by the way, as you hear him talk about, I'm going to do everything I can to never say it again, as if it's not completely in his power. Because that was what you heard even on the original tape. You heard, well, you know, we use the word all the time here. Nothing we can do about that.
It's like he has Tourette's.
Right.
How do you fix it? Well, I'll continue doing the things I've done, working with, you know, interracial people. And
now, which ones are the interracial people, by the way? I haven't heard his comments about them before. What does he mean by?
I just have to... I have some classes I have to go to, and I need to.
Okay, what are the classes like? Do they trick you into saying the N-word, and then they have
then
a buzzer?
Yeah,
maybe they got electric, you know, nodes on your gonads or something.
Right, exactly.
What kind of classes do you go to for this? Is it the history of slavery? I mean, what do you do? What do you think that's about?
I don't know.
Sensitivity training, just like we have to do every day.
Every freaking day.
Get a greater vocabulary than what I have, obviously. And when I get mad and my brain searches for a word, I have to find different words. And to do that, you have to have more of an education.
He's going to have a little index card that he carries around with him that has things on it like darky and coon, just so he's got somewhere to go.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, he's looking for other words, you know? He's the dog. All right, why did he say it? And this is the theory that Lisa espoused yesterday, that she had heard the dog give this reason as to why he thought it was okay for him to use the N-word. And this is the first time I've ever heard anyone describe it like this.
I probably shouldn't have never used that, but I thought I was cool enough to be able to use that, but to blame it on ignorance and unlearn it, that's not, no.
Am I cool enough to use the N-word? Yeah, you know what? I think I am.
That's what it comes actually down to. It comes down to coolness.
I'm so cool, I'm actually black. You just can't tell.
Exactly. Why did he use the word?
Now, the reason you didn't like or don't like your son's girlfriend is...
Okay, now let's remember, the girlfriend is... It was the subject of the phone conversation that he was having with his son, okay? This was a black girl that his son was dating and had been dating for some time. Dog, by the way, had never met her, didn't have anything against her personally, just was worried that she was going to be the one to overhear him and the others that worked for him in the bounty hunter business using the N-word and somehow is going to end up being sold to the Inquirer, which is exactly what happened. Here's where he explains a little bit about the relationship between him and the girl.
Now, the reason you didn't like or don't like your son's girlfriend is not that she's black.
No, I don't.
It has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with any of that. I don't care if she's black at all. It was the, you know, he's on parole for a 20-year sentence. He messes up, he goes back. I didn't want...
She's bad for him.
I thought at the time, I might change my mind, but at that time, I mean, he said, Dad, I would never record you. I'm not doing this as he's recording me.
That is pretty awesome, by the way, that is on the tape. The son's like, what are you talking about recording you? No.
Wait a minute, so his dad thought that he might be and asked him about it?
It came up in the conversation, because the way Dog told it, and I don't know how much I buy of this grand conspiracy theory, because he's Dog the freaking bounty hunter. He's not, the president of the United States, but he seems to think that everyone's out to get him and that everybody's trying to trap him and get him in situations that are embarrassing to him so that they can bring down his business. I don't know who cares about bringing down Dog's business, but that's his belief anyway.
You know, Dad, she's not bad for me. As now, is she or not? I mean, I don't know. But I try to take control of him and...
So you didn't like her. You didn't like her for reasons that she would be bad for your son.
Exactly right. Not because of her color of her skin.
Then why use the word?
because I referenced it, you know, back, the only word that I know that would, you know, hurt his feelings or, you know, catch his attention very fastly, never as a prejudicial or a racial slur or anything like that. None of my other children, my little daughter, 9, has never heard me say it.
When you heard it used by others, did it bug you?
Well, if it's a pure white guy that would say, you know, look at that so-and-so, but with black guys that come up, you know, what's up, my dog, and they'd say that word first, and then, of course, I wouldn't turn around and go, hi, what's up, my, and scream it, but I'd, like, tuck my chest in. The black community and I, some of the guys, would call each other that as brother to brother.
Now, I kind of understand what the where the dog is coming from, because it was something that he used with his friends that was acceptable with his friends in that context. Out of context, no longer acceptable. I understand why a guy like this, who, you know, came up from the streets, is a, you know, dropped out of school after the 7th grade, you know, pretty much makes his living in the streets. I understand why that is a wake-up call for him.
Okay, but I don't understand his explanation that he didn't like his son's girlfriend because his son was on parole.
Because she would lead him back to jail, I
Can't
guess?
Can't that only be because she's black? Because he doesn't know
no.
her.
No, it could be because she's because, a bad person.
But he doesn't even know her.
Oh, I didn't know
he's
that.
He's never met her.
Oh, but he I does, didn't know that.
What could he be basing that on?
He's basing that on a plot that he, and again, I don't know how much is this, you know, is just fantastical musings of Dog the Bounty Hunter or if there's evidence to this, but he believes that his son's girlfriend was involved in a plot to trap Beth into a fight, to get her into a fight that they could videotape and then sell to the National Enquirer. Now, I never heard of that story breaking before, never heard of that coming out, but he said that she was one of the ringleaders of that, of goading her into a fight just so they could sell the tape.
You do not want to fight Beth, by the way. She will take you out.
All right, we're almost out of time, but here's a little bit more.
By the way, it doesn't seem that out of line for him to guess that, considering that's what happened.
Yes, true, yes, exactly, true. Right. Dog's whole family's got trouble.
His whole family. Did Larry say, how about fewer kids?
Well, he does have 12, I found out on the show last night.
Oh, no.
He does have 12. And several of them, all the ones that they mentioned except the youngest one, have done hard time, including the dog, by the way, who went to prison for murder. I mean, this family is rough. But what you've heard so far, is he making any inroads on the apology? Does he sound sincere to you? I felt he did.
He does sound sincere, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this too, but he's a bounty hunter. He deals with he probably has the worst word for every race.
Yeah, but he's also on TV.
Right, but he's chasing criminals. This is not someone who's in church trying to teach our children. Yeah. I don't understand how this can destroy a bounty hunter. He's not an upstanding citizen of
He's not a senator from the great state of California, right? No, I understand what you're saying. And I also think it's worth pointing out his actions over his words, too. Did he use the word and should he not have, and is it an offensive word? Absolutely. But the guy really does have lots of black friends. The minister that he brought on with him last night is a guy who's been in his life as a regular part of his life, the guy he goes to see at church every week, the guy who did premarital counseling with him and his wife 8 years ago, the guy who performed their ceremony, one of his best friends, had never heard him use that word before and had never ever seen or heard anything to indicate that the guy was racist. Is the guy racist or is he just ignorant? I mean, I think that's really what this boils down to. And if he's just ignorant, I think you got to cut him some slack.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. One more clip from the dog.
Why did your son sell it to the Enquirer?
Now, we've all wanted to know the answer to that question.
He hates me, Larry.
Who sells out dad for $15,000?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I ask him?
No, I try to
ask him.
He will not talk to me.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. This kid, this one that sold the tape to the Enquirer, is from his first marriage, a woman that he hasn't spoken with since the 80s. And apparently that whole side of the family is estranged. So, you know, and that kid probably goes, well, I got a dad I don't talk to, you know, much, but he's famous. So maybe there's a way I can make some money off of it.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, if the goal was to get you to, you know, maybe have some sympathy for the guy and maybe consider the circumstances of his life rather than just what we heard on that awful tape, then I think mission accomplished last night. I don't know what happens from here, but But I'll close with this. They did do a poll last night of people watching the show to tune in. And I don't know. It's not scientific because people watching the show may be because they're fans of Dog. But over 80% of the people said they'd like to see him back on TV, like to see it forgiven and the show back on the air.
Well, good. Some kind of common sense going on in people's minds. My biggest complaint is that Larry sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know. Very disappointing.
I like crazy Larry. I like Larry that doesn't know anything about any guest ever. That's
and you do what? And you're here. Why, Dog?
Yes. What is it? Why do they call you Dog?
That's the Larry we were hoping right. for. Exactly. So you're telling me one time in 10 years I open my door, I have a visitor, and now you're going to make fun of me for that?
Dave, the King of Mexico, is in the studio with us.
Yo, yo.
Bean is a guy who moved away from Los Angeles, lives in the Seattle area, does not like visitors, does not like people, does yes. not like going out, does not like anything public.
No fun.
But he loves himself some baseball, and Dave, the King of Mexico, loves himself some baseball. Dave, for some reason, picked the White Sox. I can't figure out why.
Second favorite team.
But second favorite team beside the Dodgers.
Yes.
And so they were playing in Seattle, so Dave, the King of Mexico, went up to Bean's house this weekend. And I was looking for the text all weekend that said, Kevin, I'm having a bad time.
Never happened, my friend.
Or, Kevin, I just wrecked Donna.
Okay. Now, let me butt in and say this before we talk about the weekend. I understand Dave did not send you the Kevin, I wrecked Bean's wife, Donna text, right? I think that may have happened anyway, though, because
yes,
Sunday morning there were some knowing glances between the two. And all I'm telling you, without getting into too much detail here, Kevin, is that at one point I heard Donna say, yeah, that's why they call him the Thing of Mexico. You know what I mean?
No.
So I think there was something going on there.
It was awkward.
It sounded a little awkward, yeah.
Now let me see if I can start at the beginning of the pictures that you guys put up at KRock.com. The
picture, oh, okay.
The first picture is Bean carrying a suitcase, Dave carrying a white bag, and it says, Bean picked me up from the airport but forgot where he parked his car. That took care of the first 2 hours of my visit.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, dude, literally walking around the parking lot. And it's not a big parking lot either. Dang. It's not like LAX where, you know, it's huge.
Right.
Nope, there's only four rows, and Bean couldn't find his car.
Can't you just do the thing where you do the lock on your car and it beeps or whatever, and you lights come on, you can go?
That's what I thought. Nope.
You exaggerate. It was not quite 2 hours, but it was maybe not the smoothest start to your visit. I will concede
if
that.
If it was more than 15 minutes, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, you know, it took all us right. to sunset, so.
Let's move on.
All right, the second picture that's up at krock.com. Bean wanted to get the night started, sightseeing started. I'm not sure why this 7-Eleven was a, quote, must-see.
You took him to a 7-Eleven?
That's Bean 7-Eleven.
That's my 7-Eleven. That's the hot spot. That's the focal point of my universe.
It might be the focal point of your universe, but they have those here. You know,
I wanted to show it off. Yeah. I thought Dave would have a good time.
Yeah, friendly people in there too, by the way.
That's great. Yeah. Third picture. Okay, I thought it was just a joke, but there really is a clown head on the roof of Bean's gay pink house. It's a giant clown head with a monster mouth.
It's really freaky. That's
it's
what greets you.
It's kind of creepy.
It really is creepy.
Because it doesn't have eyes. Just like across for eyes. It's creepy.
It's from a carnival in the 30s, that clown had. But Dave saw it with his own eyes. He's the only person, you know, who works on our show that has.
Now, Beendy, if you want to interrupt here, or Dave, you want to interrupt here, I'm going through the pictures, but if you have stuff to add in the meantime, that's fine. Let us know how it went. The next picture is Dave holding his hand on top of a, what is that, Bean?
It's a lawn jockey.
Why is there a black midget living in the yard?
It's a lawn jockey.
Best part of the weekend, man. Highlight of my day.
Why was there a black lawn jockey in your yard, Bean? What do you do with that exactly?
It's just, you know, it's just decoration in the yard. They were very, very popular, you know, back before they became considered politically incorrect. But I bought one, I bought it years ago, and I bought one at the same time. I bought the same lawn jockey for our friend Jimmy Kimmel. I sent it to him for Christmas one year. And then I talked to him afterwards. I'm like, Jim's, what do you think of the lawn jockey? I said, he's like, well, I have to keep it in the garage. I can't put it out in the front lawn at my house because I don't live on Clan Island like you do. But Dave was enamored of the lawn jockey.
Yeah, now, I wanted to steal it. So.
Friday night, Bean wanted to watch High School Musical, which is really creepy. And Dave was claiming before he left on Friday that he was not going to watch it.
I thought it was fantastic good fortune that there was a event like High School Musical 2 on the Disney Channel debuting Friday night while Dave was going to be here anyway, because it gave us something really to look forward to kind of, you know, kick off the weekend in high gear.
But here's what I'm telling you, Dave, not looking forward to that. He told me three or four different times, I'm going to be doing something else while High School Musical is on.
He was just joshing.
Man. Out of the 17.2 million people who watched it,
yeah,
you know the two people who didn't watch it?
You?
Who?
Me and Bean.
Yeah! What?
You made him skip it?
Well, no. We watched the White Sox game and the Seattle game because it was good.
Friday night.
Yeah.
On TV.
And, yes.
Okay.
And then we started watching High School Musical.
And it blew.
No.
Well, first of all, it was awesome. Let's not get off. Well, let's not get the wrong impression.
Well, it was awesome for 20 minutes, right, Bean? And then Bean went to bed.
What?
It was awesome, dude.
What?
What do you mean you went to bed? You've got guests.
I have been looking forward to High School Musical 2 for a year and a half.
And we've been hearing about it for a year and a half.
Right.
Yes.
But then the game was so close that we couldn't turn it off. So we ended up staying up till the end of the game, which was 10. So we didn't even start High School Musical 2 until 10, okay? And I'm exhausted. I'm a working man. And at 10:20, I said, look, I love you and all that, and I'm excited about this, but I just can't stay up. I got to go to bed. So I went and put on my PJs and went to bed.
With guests in the house.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Dave was looking for quality time with Donna at that point anyway, so that was fine.
Did you see this part of High School Musical too? Okay, you know what was happening then? Did you see this part?
Nope.
There was a dude on the pitcher's mound who was a dancer. And then the batter was saying that he doesn't dance. And the dude in the pitcher's mound was saying it's the same as baseball. So the pitcher was dancing while throwing the ball. And then the batter was singing and dancing while hitting it and running the bases and doing cartwheels. It was the gayest, the absolute gayest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wouldn't know. Didn't see it.
Oh, you're so
Dave
lucky.
Was so happy.
I have kids. They watched it probably four times this weekend, and it was all I could do to not burst out laughing. But I don't want to ruin my kids' time.
Right.
So I just kept it to myself, but I was like, there's nothing gayer on this planet than trying to convince people that dancing and playing baseball is the same.
as you'll see from the photos in the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com, we did start watching High School Musical, and you can see the look on Dave's face that he's not having the best time ever. So I think it probably worked out better for both of us that now I can watch it, you know, privately, if you get my meaning.
I don't see the picture of him watching High School Musical, too.
It's on page two.
Oh, page
yeah,
two.
There's three pages of photos up there. Yeah,
inside the house, it got weirder. Here's some art of a duck getting torn apart by killer ducklings.
That is the creepiest picture.
No, it's not the creepiest, but it's one of the creepiest.
Oh, there's much more.
The duck is all bloody.
Why do you want that picture anywhere?
Dave's face.
Look at Dave's face on the next picture. By KROQ.com, Kevin to B page. The House of Horrors continues. This one's by serial killer John Wayne Gacy.
That was a weird painting, man.
Yeah, it's a clown.
It's Pogo the Clown. That's what how he used to
Stop
dress up.
Stop saying that like we all know who that is.
No, I'm telling you, it's Pogo the Clown. That was what John Wayne Gacy used to dress up in a clown suit to lure the young boys to his home before he killed them and buried them in the crawl space under his house.
Okay, so how creepy is that? That's like maybe the creepiest thing ever.
Seriously.
I couldn't look at it. I had to keep it face forward because it was just creepy. Ugh. It's too creepy for me, and I hate clowns.
Bean.
All right, that's creepy.
Is your wife afraid of clowns?
She does not like them. No.
Here's Dave pointing to a picture. You've got to be kidding me. This drawing shows a rat getting off the boat and bringing the plague to Norway in the 1340s. Nothing says welcome like a picture of the bubonic plague in your room.
This is in your room.
Yeah. Because, you know, Bean is obsessed with death, with human death. He loves it. Anything about it.
God.
And then here's Dave pointing to a black, well, of course it's black. It's O.J. Simpson. A naked O.J. Simpson painting.
You don't want to take a shower with that, dude.
It's in the bathroom?
Yeah. In the bathroom, a naked OJ.
You try to take a shower and OJ's looking at you and he's naked, telling off.
My God.
But nothing could prepare me for actually having to watch High School Musical 2 Friday night. What the F? I kept expecting Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC to raid the place.
Oh, Dave. How are you coming to me like that?
I mean, the only thing that made the 20 minutes enjoyable was Bean, because he's like pop-up video. Anytime a song would come out, Bean had a fact. Anytime Zach came out, Bean had a fact.
Okay,
anytime anything came out, Bean had a fact for everything.
This is my next question. Bean always talks about how he likes High School Musical. There is a boy lead and a girl lead. The boy's name is Zach.
Zach Efron.
Right.
He is clearly, allegedly, completely, unabashedly gay.
Not even a little bit. He is incredibly studly.
Now, the other star, I don't know how old she is, so I need to be careful here, but if she's 18, super hot Hispanic chick.
Mm-hmm. She's
really,
awesome, yeah.
Really cute girl.
Yeah.
Vanessa Hudgens, yeah, she's awesome.
Bean hasn't said one word about her.
You're right.
She's a super hot girl.
That's true, Bean.
I don't want to disrespect my Zach by talking about his girlfriend.
Finally bedtime, and they made me sleep out in the barn. That's a picture.
That's and not, Dave curled up in a stall in the barn.
Not alone. That's him with the pigs. Do you guys know cows are real? I thought they made them up for those cheese commercials. That's Dave with a cow. Here's Saturday morning. First stop, dead rock star statue. What is that, Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
That's
Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Born and raised
stop,
in Seattle. Yeah.
Dead kung fu guy and dead crow guy.
Hi!
Bruce Lee.
That's and David Brandon. Bruce and Brandon Lee's gravesites, yeah. We had a theme going on for the weekend. I don't know if you guys can tell, but just
yeah,
dead
death.
Stuff.
Yeah, dead that's stuff always mostly. Your theme. And then you're sitting next to a gravestone that is McAssey. McAssey is the name. Even funny beyond the grave,
isn't
he says.
Isn't that funny?
Yes,
it is funny.
Okay, now in downtown Seattle, there's a giant rock, and 25 feet away from it, a statue of the same rock.
That's what Seattle considers art.
Huh. I don't have time to go through all these pictures. These are absurd. What a horrible time.
We saw some cool stuff, though.
David,
we really
maybe you had a horrible time.
I can, dude. It was fun.
What is this with you making the play of the night? What's that?
Oh, you know, I jumped on the field and caught the ball. During a home
yeah,
run.
The photo before that shows him going at to the Mariners game at Safeco Field. And then the next photo after that is him catching a big ball. Yeah,
while drinking a beer.
At some point, we ended up at a chainsaw artist's house. Bean couldn't leave without buying a chainsaw-carved wooden pig.
More facts on chainsaw art.
That was
good.
On the airport, the way to the airport, we stopped at Snoqualmie Falls.
Snoqualmie Falls, right?
Bean thought we shared a moment overlooking the water. I was just afraid he was going to touch my ass again.
Well, Dave, come on.
Why do you have your arm around him with your head on his shoulder?
How to pay for the weekend somehow, man.
Doing what we can to bring the races together.
This is a weird story. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It was, until this week, a secret meeting that happened earlier in the month with the commissioner of baseball, who got together with some of the most prominent of the African-American players in the game of baseball. And they had a conference trying to figure out how they could attract more blacks to play the game.
Really?
Now, you might not think that's a problem. You may look at the team, the Dodgers field, and go, well, I don't really care how many of them are black. I just want them to be able to hit the ball. But apparently baseball thinks they've got a real problem. They think they're losing great athletes to football and to basketball, not so much to the hockey. And they're trying to figure out why that is, why Major League Baseball is only 8% African-American when in the 1970s it was almost 30% African-American.
Because so they realize they can play any sport and they don't choose baseball because it blows?
Well,
no,
maybe I wouldn't make that choice, but maybe a lot of young athletes are. So anytime a touchy situation like this that involves race relations that we're uncomfortable with knowing how to handle, anytime something like that comes up, we're so happy that we've got an expert to go to who can help us shed some light on what's really happening here. And our friend Bruce Endicott is on the line. He is from the organization known as COFFEE. And I'm sorry, Bruce, COFFEE stands for what again?
The Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. And I'm right. You would be the guy to go to. You'd be the point man to go to on this this very difficult to discuss issue of race in sports, right?
Well, we're glad to hear that Major League Baseball is thinking about trying to include more African Americans into the game.
Okay, so that's positive.
As you know, here at COFFEE, we believe that we like to cultivate a culture where everyone shares everything equally.
Right.
Even the whites, you know, just because the whites are superior doesn't mean we can't share everything we have with everyone.
Well,
we want to be
Bruce,
all enveloping.
Wait, you said the whites were superior. You did. Clearly you misspoke there.
Right.
All right.
So I think it's a great idea for the MLB to bring in more African-Americans. Now, they haven't asked us for our plan yet, but we are preparing one. When they finally do come around and ask us to participate in these talks.
Bruce, do you mind if I just bring up one question before your ideas? And that is,
sure.
Does anyone else ask you except for us?
Oh, yeah.
You field a lot of calls from
everyone,
media?
Everyone at the club asks me all the time for my ideas.
At the club?
Usually around the 17th hole, we get into some very spirited conversations.
Oh, I see. So this is a country club, a golf place,
sure.
Probably where minorities aren't allowed, I would imagine.
Well, let's not get crazy. I mean, we want to share everything, but come on, seriously.
Well, what would be – all right, that's another topic for another day. So Commissioner Selleck from baseball, he gets together with some of the high-profile black players, old players like Hank Aaron, new players like Derek Jeter, and he says, what would you guys do to bring blacks into the game? But they're not asking you, and it sounds like you've got some ideas.
Exactly. Selleck should take these points and bring them up in the next meeting.
Okay.
When he's talking to the African-Americans, to entice them to play the game of baseball – say, gentlemen, from now on, you get to keep all the bases that you steal.
Well, that's...
Steal a base, take it home.
Well, that's not...
Really, if you steal something, you want to keep it, right? Isn't that their thought?
It's not that kind of stealing. It's a term that means you just advance 90 feet around the field. You don't actually keep the base.
But you know how literal they can be.
What do you mean, their thought and they can be?
Well, you know, I steal a base. Why shouldn't I get to keep it? No wonder they don't like baseball.
Well, that's just dumb.
Like Indian giving, or Indian stealing in this case.
Okay, well, that's clearly, that's not going to happen.
Don't get me started on the
Indian. I mean, I don't think we will.
Let the players wear their baseball caps to the side. It looks so now and fat.
All right, so loosen up the uniform restrictions. You think that would be appealing to African-American players?
Right, have them put spinners on their cleats. You know, modern the game up a little bit.
Well, this sounds like insulting ideas. This does not sound like it'll help people get along.
Oh, you're right. They don't like to wear their baseball caps to the side. You're right. My bad. Listen, I'm trying to be real. I'm being for reals here, okay? I'm keeping it real to the street, yo.
Okay.
That's what you're famous for, Bruce, okay?
You know how players get to chew tobacco?
Of course.
When they're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let them chew crack, too.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
That's absurd.
First of all,
that is absurd.
Why don't you want the black man to chew what he wants to chew is what I'm asking you.
Well, first of all, Bruce, I don't know if you watch baseball. You haven't been allowed to chew tobacco in at least 10 years in the majors. You have to chew gum and sunflower seeds now.
And crack.
No.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Gum, sunflower seeds, crack.
Crack is whack.
Okay.
Bruce.
Nice, Kevin.
Thank you.
Wow, I've been putting my face. And also, we have to change the name of what it's called when you whiff on a ball, when it goes past you and you swing at it.
Right.
Strikeout?
We got to change the strikes. Because ever since the three strikes law has been passed, it makes them very nervous.
Oh.
Two strikes. You have two strikes, and then you start to get nervous, and you can barely hit the ball because, three strikes, your mind. Being the African-American, your mind goes right to jail forever.
It doesn't.
Jail for life. And no wonder you can't play a game. You can't concentrate because you're thinking, I'm going to go to jail for life because of the three strikes law.
Have you ever met an African-American? Once?
I read Roots. I know about the African experience.
Yeah.
And my dentist went to a school that had black people in it.
Really?
That's as close as you get.
Listen about the three strikes thing, seriously.
Okay, listen.
I'm not kidding, because it makes them very nervous.
Right.
If you thought you were going to jail for life, could you swing a bat?
They don't think that. They're professional athletes playing a game, and they clearly understand the terminology and the rules. Bruce, there's no confusion there.
It's subliminal.
Wow.
You don't know.
It's a shame they don't call you for your good ideas, Bruce.
I'm here when you need me.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, it people sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for?
Well, that's
roads.
What I meant. What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do?
Why didn't you ask, what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily
kind
to
of
you.
What city is it? You could have asked. I don't know the answer to that question.
What
if I knew the answer
do?
To that, I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked. What does your city do?
What does your city do?
He understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about what he's contributed to the industry.
Brilliance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, no, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years. But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit his stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, Chick.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like word jumble.
It is a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know
why. See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and the maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
How about
we don't need to keep going with this.
Well, I'm just saying,
it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past past few years.
What about Mike? See if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something like that. And Kevin was Kevin had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much
chance. But I've got a big head.
That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with
is... don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough, tough questions.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's just in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red.
Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about when we take
we
Kevin out on the road?
What about when Kevin's in front
of people?
Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, on your home field advantage, you can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds a making. I'm sorry, eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a...
Kevin!
I've got to stop drinking.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA-USC thing. And
there you go. Okay.
They were serving me skillets, which is a skillet with
a frying pan full of liquor.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
Yeah. And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, my Lord.
That was a full-blown stroke.
It was.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man. I don't have it today.
All right. It's
Hold on.
We're going to take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb. Really?
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right. Now, I have a request.
Oh, yes, I know.
Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Kevin
yeah.
crystallized yeah, that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You got to wonder if there were no cameras, if there would have, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel, of the wherever the tower to get the, you know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right,
he had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other, and that's
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more, because is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I am retarded.
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.